Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and blind to our quiet unseen label. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
For right now, I'm going to turn this over to Claire Lopez with the Center for Security Policy, woman who was in the CIA for over 20 years in many of the hot spots at the embassies while this kind of activity was going on, and she's going to give you her...
So what I'd like to do is give you an overview of our findings, which you will see, of course, in this report in a great deal more detail, but I will give you a bit of an overview right now of those things that we think the most important. If I had to put anything at the top of this list, I think it would be that we must lay blame where blame is due. Now, naturally, that blame, of course, goes to the Commander-in-Chief, President Barack Obama, whose absence that night is most notable above anything else. But in terms of diplomatic facilities around the world, the responsibility is with the Secretary of State, and at that time that was Hillary Clinton, to provide and ensure the safety of the Americans that she sends in harm's way to do their country's business. So this report that we have put out, the findings that that you will read in there, I think add what is most notably missing from any of the other committee reports or the ARB itself, Accountability Review Board that Roger mentioned from the State Department. And one of the things that, we assign to this entire episode, we provide an overarching narrative, I think. We connect the dots. You know, yesterday Representative Trey Gowdy spoke before the media presenting the committee's report, and he notably refrained from assigning blame or demanding accountability by name. And he also did not draw a connection between the dots. He did not provide an overarching explanation, if you will. I think we do that in this report. And where that leads, where those dots connected lead, is that the Obama administration and the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Department of State, deliberately and knowingly implemented a U.S. foreign policy to aid and abet Islamic jihadists, our enemies, and in particular across North Africa in the year of 2011 to help and aid the Muslim Brotherhood Islamic uprising to come to power in countries like Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt. No, it did not all turn out the way they may have expected in the beginning, but that was the policy, that was the intent, to help the Muslim Brotherhood to take over government of these countries. And I also think that that policy, fundamentally flawed policy, was the fundamental cause of the ultimate debacle, catastrophe, that Benghazi became in September of 2012. Now, because of the Great Purge, which took place throughout the entire United States government, 2011 till 2012, in which all presentations, all training curricula, PowerPoints, curricula, everything related to finding and naming and identifying the jihadist enemy, the global jihad enemy that we face, was purged from all training materials and from all the lexicon and official discourse across the United States government. And that means Department of State, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, the military, the Pentagon, and so on, including the intelligence community. Now, because they either did not know or were not allowed to know anymore who the enemy is, the global jihad movement and all who support jihad in the fight for Sharia, that is the enemy. Because our officers were not permitted to speak of that, to know that, to pursue that, I think that had a lot to do with the policies in Benghazi specifically. And that has to do with the ability to distinguish between jihadis, Sharia-bent jihadis, like the 17 February Martyrs Brigade and Libya Shield, whom we hired, we collaborated with for our intelligence, our information, and our security at that mission in Libya. They could not distinguish or were not allowed to distinguish between jihadis like those and any in Libya who might have been genuine allies, not jihadis. Now, from Christopher Stevens to the folks at the CIA annex, they were in fact then relying on exactly the jihadist enemy that was eventually to turn on them and to kill four Americans and injure others so gravely. Policy of the State Department and of Hillary Clinton in particular is also deplorable, we find. That then in the early part of 2011, the Hillary Clinton State Department extended formal U.S. government recognition to the Muslim Brotherhood Revolution that was opposing at that time our ally in the war on terror, Muammar Gaddafi. He had given up his weapons of mass destruction verifiably, not with an unsigned executive agreement as has been done elsewhere. Verifiably given up his WMD, given up his support for terrorism that he'd been involved in for so long before that. And he was helping us with intelligence on AQ, Al-Qaeda, in the Islamic Maghreb in particular. He had Al-Qaeda in his jails. And yet when his Muslim Brotherhood in Libya, Libyan Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda militias rose up against him, we abandoned him. We turned and we supported the enemy, his enemy and ours, the Islamic jihadist enemy. That recognition was extended to the government, the Transitional National Council, in 2011. There was a presidential intelligence finding, we are told, that allowed the U.S. agencies to provide aid and funding and weapons to those Libyan militias trying to overthrow Gaddafi. Some of that was included in our earlier report back in 2014. We go into greater detail about that here. And then, of course, in 2012, the weapons flow reversed and went out of Libya, and now it was the responsibility of the CIA and the annex team to gather up, buy back loose weapons, in particular surface-to-air missiles, and ship them out of Libya over to Turkey, and then from thence overland to, again, Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda-dominated rebels in Syria fighting to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. Now, I think that the determination of the Obama administration, and particularly the Hillary Clinton State Department, to refuse all these requests for security through 2012 that we document in quite a bit of detail in our report, has to do with preserving appearances that what they had done in overthrowing Gaddafi was the right thing, and that if they had admitted that instead the country was falling into chaos, that Al-Qaeda militias were running amok, that weapons were sloshing about every which way, if they had admitted that by acceding to requests for more security, it would have destroyed their narrative about the entire support for the revolution in the first place. Now, let me move quickly to something else we document in a great deal of detail in the report, and that is the abundance of warnings before the attacks of 11 September 2012. First of all, it was the anniversary of 9/11. That alone should have put U.S. forces and diplomatic missions the world over on extra alert. We know now from CIA annex security team members who have gone public now in a wonderful book, 13 Hours, and also the movie by the same name, that there was an intelligence report at least 2 weeks out before the attack of 11 September began, warning of such an attack. Furthermore, we know that there was another intelligence report that specifically talked about Ansar al-Sharia attacking potentially within the next 24 hours. This comes out on 10 September, not necessarily against the U.S. mission, but an attack was planned. Now, what happened on 9 September, that is 2 days out from the attack, was that an Egyptian TV talk show host aired a clip of the YouTube video called Innocence of Muslims. That video, really crudely produced, to be sure, was in fact not really anti-Islam at all. It contained vignettes from the life of Muhammad taken from the Sunnah and the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad. When he aired that on his show and invited outrage, Al-Azhar University responded quickly with a fatwa, and the outrage built. The embassy in Cairo knew this from social media. They did nothing. No warnings went out. No military forces were alerted to move forces perhaps closer to potential flashpoints. These are more of the warnings. And then finally, of course, the day before, this is very important, Ayman al-Zawahiri, then the head of Al-Qaeda, issued a video on jihadi websites, and he called for, O sons of Libya, rise up and kill Americans, because the CIA had assassinated his deputy, a Libyan, Abu Yahya Libby, some months before in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region with a drone strike. That, I've always thought, was the green light for the attack to come the next day. All of these warnings, then, ignored. No forces were moved into place. You will hear more from General McInerney and from Admiral Lyons about the authority of combatant commanders to move forces within their region under their authority. They could have done that. They did not do that. Finally, then, after ignoring all of these warnings, the attack, of course, unfolds. Now, here is a very important point, and that is that night, 11-12 September, Hillary Clinton wielded cross-border authority for Libya on behalf of the United States that night. She had the authority to give or to withhold cross-border authority for U.S. military forces to enter into Libya to rescue our people or at least attempt a rescue. Now, typically, ordinarily, the procedure is to request permission from the host government, and we were, in fact, in contact with that host government, but no request was made. The State Department issued no request to the Libyan government for cross-border authority. In fact, not until the next morning when a plane came in from Germany to pick up the survivors and the bodies of those who had fallen. So the position that we want to get across here, the point that we want to get across here, is that Hillary Clinton once again was pivotal. She could have authorized the military to move. Without orders, the military cannot cross an international border, and they did not that night, and they left our people to fight and die alone the entire night. Let me finish this quickly with the cover-up afterwards that we go into in some detail. There was collusion from the very beginning at the White House level to disseminate a false narrative to blame the attack on our mission in Benghazi, which was an Islamic Jihad attack by Ansar al-Sharia, an Al-Qaeda affiliate, to blame that on a YouTube video. The collusion went like this, and we know this again, hat tip to Judicial Watch for getting these documents, that the White House turned immediately to Rashad Hussein, who is at that time was the administration envoy to the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and turned to Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide, in order to collaborate with the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. Within 48 hours, they were all aligned in their message. They were posting, they were broadcasting, and certainly at the end of September, when all the countries meet at the United Nations for the UN General Assembly, all of the OIC presidents, prime ministers, heads of state took the podium one after the other to denounce not just the video, but to call for curbs on free speech, restrictions on free speech, because what is the number one 10-year and counting objective of the OIC, the Islamic countries of this world? It is to criminalize the criticism of Islam. Hillary Clinton, while she was Secretary of State, worked very closely with the OIC to implement their program of criminalizing criticism of Islam. When this Benghazi debacle took place, they could not resist the urge to use it as an agenda item to further this objective to curb free speech, our First Amendment rights. So let me conclude there, and of course we'll have time for your questions afterwards, but a brief overview of our report. Thank you.
The ultimate symbol of the American dream, a house. Homeownership is still very much the thread that stitches together the hopes of so many people in this country. But as our Pamela Brown reports, some in Philadelphia are losing their homes they worked so hard to build, and it has nothing to do with being able to pay their mortgages.
I built this house with my own hands. I'm a working guy. I work every day, 6 days a week, 7 days if I have to.
For 8 years, Christo Sorvelis, who built his own painting business,
I built the oven for pizza and barbecue,
has also been toiling away on his family's dream house in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
I was so upset thinking somebody's going to come over and take my house for nothing. That makes me crazy.
Without warning, Sorvelis says Philadelphia police and prosecutors seized his house.
I was going nuts. So what do you mean?
He and his wife, Markella, have never been charged with a crime or even accused of any wrongdoing.
Talk to us a little bit about another project you're working on. It has to do with civil forfeiture. Tell us what that is.
Well, basically, the government can take money from you without ever convicting you, without ever even charging you.
But if police suspect your car was involved in a crime, they can take it, sell it, and in most places, pocket the proceeds to pad their budgets.
In fact, the most famous U.S. attorney for doing this is Loretta Lynch. She confiscated $110 million worth of people's stuff, never tried them, never even took them to court, just kept their money. And it turns justice on its head because you're presumed to be guilty until you prove that you're innocent.
Are some police agencies more concerned about making money off the drugs than stopping them?
Well, at the center of this months-long investigation are laws that let officers pull you over looking for cash. And get this, they don't even have to charge you with a crime to keep your money.
A tractor-trailer stopped for a traffic violation leads to a search and the discovery of large blocks containing almost $200,000 cash. Cash that officers keep on the suspicion that it's drug money. In fact, Interstate 40 has become a major profit center for Tennessee law enforcement, with officers stopping and often searching out-of-state vehicles.
Is it okay that they...
It's okay.
It's because of a state law that lets them seize money, like the cash shown in these police photos, simply based on the suspicion that it's linked to drug trafficking. If an owner does not take legal action to get the money back, the agency gets to keep it all.
I mean, this is really highway shakedowns coming to the U.S.
The reason why I stopped you was you're coming outside your lane of travel. I don't know if you're being sleeping or you're not drinking.
So what was the reason for the stop?
I think he said he crossed the line, weaved over.
Yet our camera had been tracking that same supervisor and captured the exact moment that he put on his brakes just as he was about to pass the Texas vehicle. As you can see, it's squarely between the lines. For almost 2 minutes, the interdiction vehicle trails the SUV. And while the officer himself is all over the road...
That car wasn't weaving.
The tape, it was not weaving. It did not cross the line. You're right.
He never weaved once, did he?
No, he stayed within his lane of traffic.
All right. Today. Get you
and we obtained other videos from that same 23rd Drug Task Force supervisor, where he stops out-of-state drivers and never even tells them that they violated any traffic laws. Last year, the Institute for Justice issued this report, Policing for Profit, that gave Tennessee a D- for civil forfeiture laws that make it all possible.
Under civil forfeiture, you give law enforcement a direct and perverse incentive to go out and try to take as much property from citizens as possible.
It's a way to make money for your task force. Honestly?
Well, you know, when you say make money, I guess it is a way for us to continue to fund our operation.
What we're doing, we're taking advantage of how the laws are to use the money to be able to put back to fight the drugs. So everything's paid through seizures and fines.
So if these officers out on the interstate don't come up with cash, then they might lose their jobs.
Well, it's a possibility, yes.
Out here on the interstate, interdiction officers have a choice. Conventional wisdom is that the drugs come in from Mexico on the eastbound side, but the money goes back on the west.
We spotted both the 23rd and DICE staging time and time again with their backs to the drug side. In fact, a review of daily activity sheets kept by the 23rd discovered that when officers noted the location of their traffic stops, there were 10 times as many on the money side.
We want both sides of the road worked.
It looks like that they're not concerned about stopping the drugs, that they just want with the money.
That's what it looks like.
Is that the case?
And that shouldn't be the case, but that's what it looks like.
It shows that the police are really focusing not on trying to get the drugs, not on trying to enforce the drug laws and stop that flow throughout the country. They're focused on getting the money.
Law enforcement authorities say their goal is to hit the drug traffickers in the pocketbook, which undoubtedly they have. But some people have hired lawyers after their cash was taken, and sometimes after months and months of litigation, judges have ruled that the money really never had anything to do with drug dealing at all.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat room there, you can jump over there to the /superchat.html on ShazizRadio.com, where you can talk to the Awake Radio side and the Shaziz Radio side all in the first go. So it's like a twofer, man. So anyway, I played those two podcasts right there, and both of them have a lot of disturbing implications to it. You know, everything from two separate laws for, like, you and me, and then another completely separate set of rules for the ruling class elite, so to speak. And then you have, on top of that, you have the essentially the asset forfeiture seizure laws that are popping up in all over different states and have been for quite some time, where essentially if they suspect you of a crime, they can take your money and your property and never even charge you for it. And if you don't fight it in court, then they essentially get to keep your stuff. You know, it's kind of like you didn't say nothing, so you must be guilty, kind of thing. Guilty until proven innocent, which is, in my mind, pretty ridiculous, but that doesn't even stop there. You know, everybody keeps talking about all how modern society at one point is going to get into the realm of cashless society, which makes it even more likely that you could potentially lose your cash without ever even seeing your cash. So what's to stop somebody from pulling you over and running your financial records, since it's all going to be on the doggone same cards anyway, running your financial records and saying, oh, well, looky here, man, you got a couple $100,000 in your bank account. You must have got that with drugs. And then, you know, confiscate it digitally, swipe your card, and bam, you're broke. You know, it sounds far-fetched to some folks. Like, you know, you could always trust your government, but in reality, looking back at this whole deal with Hillary Clinton, which everybody's talking about trying to put up in the White House to be the very first lady president of these United States. Alright, well, the track record stinks. Not just for her, but for the whole Democratic National Party and all that. Just go check out the links. There's a couple links off copy of this one that Tom just put in there. Emails that are related to the DNC. And, oh, God, how did I do that? I don't know how I did that. Anyway, emails that pretty much show that there was a whole lot of shenanigans going on during the primaries of the Democratic National Party there. So, you know, you're going to elect these individuals to be your representation, and these pretty much same individuals. Not saying that on both parties they aren't corrupt, because they pretty much are, but these same individuals support episodes such as what we're talking about here. And have done a lot of dirty deeds under nothing more than political ideology to pass an agenda or whatever, you know.
Done a lot of dirty deeds, and it ain't been dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's been expensive for somebody.
Yeah.
Mostly the average Joe, because, you know, if you or I, Thomas, would have done any dirty deeds like this, we'd be so far up underneath the jail, we'd be speaking Chinese, man.
Well, you know? The thing, too, is that if you did something like that to someone, you know, with any influence or power, they could pretty much laugh it off. But you do that to a guy who, or a gal who's basically living paycheck to paycheck, raising a couple kids and whatnot, a flat tire is enough to basically put that whole family through a cascade of events under a bridge.
Yep.
That incident causing them to lose their job, unable to maintain the insurance, they get arrested trying to drive back and forth to the next job they get because they lost their job and didn't have the money to pay for insurance, for driving without insurance, then, you know, now while they're in jail, their kids are taken from them, and, you know, they've got a record, and nobody wants to hire them. I mean, you basically destroy their life with one nail.
Yeah, that's
just
all it
took.
Just
one nail in a tire, that's all it took.
All it
and
takes.
These people are monkeying around with a lot more than a nail, you know?
Yeah, they're monkeying around with freedom. Two Dog posted over there at Awake Radio, said, Republican Party stinks too. He said, what I've seen from Nixon to Bush, and you know, I can't disagree with it, because
yeah, this isn't an attack on one party versus the other. This is just an exposure of what kind of nonsense goes on in the political realm when you get to this level.
Exactly, and I'm trying to point out the fact that before anybody pulls the lever for anybody, see, now They was all talking about old Barack Obama, how he was like going to be the first African-American president. They can't say black presidents. That sounds kind of racist. But either way, first black president, African-American president, whatever your politically correct terminology is for it. But either way, it all sounded good, man. It all sounded great. All right. Now he's been in there for, 8 years now? And the country's more divided than ever before. It's a mess. And it wasn't because he was a Democrat. And, the Republican side just as well got just as many corrupt
individuals. No, it's because you got people out there that like to stir division between people any way they can. And they will find something no matter what. Yeah. Oh, it's them redheads versus the brunettes. Or, it's those Protestants, You can't trust them, man. Oh, by the way, talking to the Protestants, those Catholics, man, you can't trust them. So they can have them fighting amongst themselves. That way, if they're too busy getting their eye knocked out by the opposing factor that they've been put up against, they can't see what the guy who just basically put them both at odds with each other is really up to.
Even though this man who's in the White House right now wasn't ever even properly vetted by the so-called mainstream media propaganda machine, red flag would be if he was born with the name Barry Davis Satoru and then he has his name changed to Barack Hussein Obama and then he uses his Indonesian heritage or whatever to go to college under the pretense of being a foreign exchange student, and
he
so
is,
on and
he's
so forth.
From Kenya. It's that same place that him and that he used to play basketball with Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
When they were both kids and growing up in Kenya.
So my question is this. Look, if that would have been anybody from anybody else, anyone who wasn't like establishment candidate, you seeing what they did with Ron Paul and what they've done with Bernie Sanders and anybody else who, basically shakes the tree of the establishment, so to speak. And there's candidates out there running for president that people don't even know, And it's ridiculous unless you got millions of dollars for commercials to put on TV, and then that you could put a commercial on a TV, and then the mainstream media come around and try to make it sound like, wow, did you just hear that crackpot running for president or whatever, And that they'll try to steer the public view towards.
Or they'll run around and make sure that they only get footage of the two or three paid protesters. That are at a location, so it looks like there's a giant protest going on.
So now if you got people divided against each other, you actually got citizens out in the doggone streets protesting and arguing with one another, and actually literally in some cases getting into physical fights with each other, burning the American flag and all this kind of stuff, and, every time you listen to their answer to any question, it's always the same talking points that you just heard on the doggone TV set. It wasn't like what we're talking about here where we're actually going outside the line. We're not backing either side of the doggone political spectrum because we know that they all have to be watched. It's that whole paying attention.
Hey, hold on. You're saying that... we're not bashing either one.
No,
actually,
I said backing.
Yeah, we're bashing both of them.
Backing. I'm talking about backing.
Oh, yeah. We're not backing either one, right.
Yeah.
I thought you said bashing.
Yeah, we're bashing them.
Bashing them both, you get one, and then you get one. You get one, and then you get one.
Yeah.
You get an equal amount because you're both equally dirty,
Here's my deal. My grievance with the Republicans, if you know for a fact, because these things with these emails for Benghazi and not being turned over when they were subpoenaed, that's a crime. She swore an oath to uphold the law. She swore an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. And just because you're in a foreign nation serving your country, your rights don't stop once you leave the gates of America. Your rights are to be protected over by the other side. Well, she didn't send the help she needed, and then she covered it all up and then kept on covering it up, kept on lying about the deal. That's a crime. Anybody else, if I go to a federal court and I tell a lie, I perjure myself in court, I'm going to prison. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
She did it not once, but multiple times, if not hundreds of times. And as far as I'm concerned, any of the mainstream media are complicit in the crime because they basically toe the line. They basically allow her and all these other politicians to be able to literally sit there and lie to you. People, you got to understand, if the Supreme Court says it's all right for the government to lie to you, to entrap you, or basically the mainstream media can lie to you, if the Supreme Court says it's all right for all these agencies to lie to you, then you need to question the information as it's coming to you from these individuals, because how do you know whether it's a lie or not a lie? You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. You can't trust the government going to tell you the truth, then how and why would you even want these individuals in office to begin with? So that's what we're dealing with here. And, this whole taking people's property because it may or may not be... they may have got the money by drugs, or they might have did their car might have been in a crime or something. You know, you know how many cars are like the car that you're driving out there? There were many models made of the same exact car, and so if somebody was driving a car that just happened to be in a bank robbery, and you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and your car suspected of being in that crime, well, they'd take your car, which, you know, according to the Constitution, you're supposed to have the right against illegal search and seizure, right? Am I wrong?
Nope.
I mean, if you don't like the Constitution, then lobby your Congress to, get together and have a constitutional convention and sort it out. But in the meantime, I like my Constitution because it's the only thing that stands between me and a corrupt government that... basically gives me the authority as a citizen of the United States that if my government gets too out of hand, I have options. And so with that said...
Well, they put that in there because you actually, you have options they can't take from you,
yeah.
Not as a populace. And they did that to basically diffuse things so that it didn't come to blows.
Well, that's
good. You have the right to peaceful protesting because they don't want violent protesting. They take the peaceful protesting away and continue to violate people, you're going to get violent protesting. You're going to get a revolution.
Well, see, what's ironic about the whole peaceful protesting and the violent on both sides is the fact that when folks are out there protesting their rights, and then they turn around and start damaging properties of other people who are trying
to
exercise
their
rights.
That's not a protest.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. That's not a protest. A protest is where... you have said, look, you are stepping on my rights numerous times, and they have refused to listen to what you have to say. So you do what people do when they're in a debate, and the other side won't listen to them and just keeps basically stepping on them. You raise your voice. The protest is the next step where they raise your voice just a little bit higher. You've gone from sending emails and letters to your congressmen to standing out in front of their building, their house, or out in front of the place where they're working when you know they're there, so they can't ignore you.
Well, yeah, and that's understandable, but when it comes down to the extent of what we've seen on these broadcasts where, you know, people are from the Hillary
or
Bernie
side...
they're
attacking each other when each other's not the problem.
They were over at the doggone Trump rallies kicking people's cars, the windows and taillights out of people's cars, man. Just because they were voting. They were running up, punching people in the head, stealing their property from them. You know, if you got the right to vote for somebody and have your own political views in peace and safety, then these other folks, just because you don't like Trump, doesn't mean you have the authority to go over and violate somebody else's rights. That's the point I'm trying to get across.
Right.
And so the double standards are with the people as well as the double standards with the two separate law versions of law for the ruling class elite who are there supposedly as your representation. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's good for the goose is good for the ganders, the simple way to put it. If I break the law, then I'm obligated to repay the law or punished however the law says that that's the way I'm supposed to be punished. And the same thing should apply to the police officer as far as the average Joe. the president all the way down to the
actually,
local dog.
Actually, it should apply even more to people who have power.
Well, that's what I think. Personally, you I know? Think that it, the representation in the executive, legislative, and the judicial branch of government should be held at a much higher standard than
right.
the average Joe. Because they know
it's either that or you stop giving them all these perks and benefits and you turn it into what it actually is, a job.
Yeah.
And it's a job just like going and sitting on the jury of a trial, an ongoing trial. You don't get elected into that. You get drafted into it. You're forced to do it, and unless you can point out a legitimate exception to why you should not have to serve in that office for that set period of time, it's your duty. You got to do it.
Two Dog pointed out that if they keep people divided, they win. And that's exactly what they do. They keep them
yep.
divided amongst party lines, religious point of views, or
racial lines, like you said.
Yep.
You know, any line they can find. So.
The thing is, the average Joe, the wisdom that has to start, we need a tsunami of wisdom going through the average Joe to understand and recognize when they're being played like a banjo. Because the problem is, after the riot, and you already burnt down your own town because you didn't, you know, you're just out there thinking you're going to protest and you tore up your own town. The government, they're still the government, and the police are still the police, the mainstream media is still the mainstream media, and they all made a lot of money off of your shenanigans, because when you burnt down that doggone business, now you don't have a job, alright? Now, basically, somebody got paid for that. The insurance companies had to pay money out, the police made money from fines and incarceration. The government made money, the whole system. You just helped them out. You fed the beast some big fat loaves of bread, so to speak, because you just...
Well, you just polarized the entire community,
yeah.
too, so that basically one half is gonna side with those who are going to come and shackle those who were out there basically, you know, tearing up houses and businesses and cars and whatnot and take their ability to defend themselves. And that's exactly what they're looking for, so that once they have them weakened, then they'll polarize the remaining people who have the power to defend themselves against each other, so creating another division so they can have an excuse where one side will basically side with them to take the other side's ability to defend themselves until there are so few people left that can defend themselves that the government can just step in and say, well, we don't need a polarization now. Who's going to come to defend you? No one.
Yep,
because
right.
you didn't defend any of them, so now we're going to take what you've got.
That's right. And there's
give it up or be shot.
There's a peaceful part of society that is probably, I would venture to say, in the majority that would be willing to literally allow their freedoms to be decreased just for in the guise of security. And what I mean by that is these folks that do this stuff to the people out there, divide and conquer, they can steer public opinion by playing on the heartstrings and the fears of those out there who really don't want to get involved. They're not the ones out protesting. They're not the ones...
Or they've just been involved in a nasty manner.
Yeah.
Because their car was just destroyed or... somebody in their family was just shot and they're blaming it on a particular group of people so they can go ahead and get an excuse to pass laws to violate their constitutional rights now.
And Two Dog mentioned in the chat room also that they work for you. If they don't do their job, the people need to, and I'm paraphrasing, essentially exercise the rights of the Constitution to send that government packing. That's as simple as that. Now
we have reached a point where packing is not good enough.
Well, jailhouse
would be a nice
start.
These people who have broken the law need to go to prison.
Jailhouse would be a nice start. Now, I don't ever foresee Hillary Clinton ever being in jail, you know, for what she's done. And I don't see any of the other politicians as well. I don't care what side of the political spectrum they're on. But the reality is you have two separate laws. You have laws for the people and you have laws for the ruling class elite. So, you know, if if everything goes as standard view, the election will be stolen. Hillary will be the president, and it'll go.
Stolen half of it.
Yeah, it's right in front of everybody's face, and even the Democratic Party is all ticked off because they know Bernie Sanders basically got screwed by the Democratic National Convention. They found the emails that showed, look, you know, we're gonna
they've
say
got the
this
smoking
about
gun
this guy.
And now they're trying to basically divert attention away from it by screaming about the people who basically snuck in and basically seized the evidence without getting a search warrant, the Russians who basically hacked this whole thing and released the emails.
That's why nobody could get anything across to the Obamas, because basically all they had to do, if he broke the law or did something against the Constitution, unconstitutional wars or drone strikes, all they had to do is cry racist. Oh, you're only trying to... Well, you're on a witch hunt because he's a black man.
Well,
you're
or
a racist.
They just not... they refused to release the information and threatened anybody who decided to release it with, you know, threat of going to basically prison by violating national security.
Yep. It shows... Two Dog pointed out that Nixon got caught and he never went to jail. That's it. Well, how many of the presidents...
Yeah.
How many presidents of these United States have you ever see going to jail? And how many presidents have used their executive privilege to pardon somebody? How many judges have pardoned people? How many of the ruling class elite have been pardoned by ruling class elite? And then, here's one even better that a lot of people don't even remotely think about. What about all those individuals that come over here and claim diplomatic immunity after committing crimes, everything from drug running to extortion and money laundering? You know, crimes, just flat out crimes, and all they have to do is claim diplomatic immunity and they walk. It's that simple, because our government working with their government, and we want to use it. They call it in law enforcement, it's called reciprocity. It's what I'll do for you, you do for me. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, kind of thing. So if another nation is our ally and we're working with them and their representatives come over there, then do something wrong, you're not going to throw them in jail because it would look bad. You know, we got our representatives from whatever country came over here and committed murder, you know, crashed a car and killed somebody by accident or on purpose or whatever, and now they're going back home totally unscathed. Alright? And so, you know, all these former presidents who have signed like National Defense Authorization Act and the Trans-Pacific Partnerships and the Patriot Act, all right, where essentially it talks about the government can detain anybody they suspect, all right, without any due process, for any purpose or whatever, they can disappear you, you know. And the whole torture episode, any of these presidents who ever signed this against their own citizens violated the United States Constitution. You're supposed to be protected against any cruel and unusual punishment. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. You're supposed to be immune from any illegal searches and seizures. There's a process by which the due process by which people have to, if they want to search your property, have to go to court and prove that they've got probable cause and just cause to actually go in there and describe the places where they want to search.
And that's mostly for documentation, so that they basically if they are wrong, then they can be held accountable for violating you.
Yeah. It's not it says in there that they can come in there and ransack your house and tear your stuff and break your property just because they suspect you might have something illegal in there. Mm-hmm. But people, that happens all the time. People's cars have been literally destroyed. I mean, they pulled the doggone panels off the side of it, ripped the seats and everything to see if anything's stashed in it or on it or whatever.
And then they leave the people there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. And there's another thing, too, you know. this whole putting a dog in the canine inside your car, you know, maybe it's been cases that the dog barked because there was a McDonald's bag in there. He smelled food. That's all he was hitting on. And then they get it in there and there ain't nothing in there. But in the meantime, you got leather seats in your cars. What do you think those claws off of that doggone dog is doing to those leather seats? And is anybody being reimbursed for any damages or scratches?
Oh, that would cost the American people too much. Yeah. What about that American person that just lost to have their car torn apart?
Yeah. So essentially, you got a different set of rules, one for the people and one for the other, you know. And I'm going to go back to the EPA for a second, because this one is the one that boggles my mind and really frustrates me to all no get out. If I get caught dumping something down the creek, all right, antifreeze or oil or something bad, all right, I could get thousands of dollars fines. I mean, anywhere from $25,000 up, including jail time. The Environmental Protection Agency is supposed to be there to protect the environment. And I can't remember whether it was Colorado or what state was that they busted a hole open in a mine and dumped tons of wastewater out of this mine down the river. Turned it orange, man. And then they told the Native Americans downstream, oh, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can drink the water again. Alright, and then when they had water shipped in, they didn't go out and make sure that they had food grade water tanks that they brought them in. They brought them in old oil tankers and expected these folks to feed it to their cattle. You know, that's the kind of respect that they have for the people of this country. And it's not the average Joe we're talking about here. There's over 320 million people in the United States right now. Some documented and some undocumented. So the population could actually be much higher. It's like 320 million people in it, and a very small amount of all those people actually work for the government. I mean, are in seats of power. There's a lot of individuals who work for government agencies, but they're not necessarily part of the government. They just... the secretaries and
they're
the janitors.
They're not part of the special clique. Yeah. That gets away with whatever they want.
The janitor gets caught stealing something out of the building and they go to jail. But the ruling class elite get caught doing something illegal. Well, they get a pass. Mm-hmm. And for as what I'm saying, that the scales of justice are so off balance, it ain't even remotely funny. If the government ever fell off the top scale, we'd be launched into space. You know what I'm saying? That's how high they are. And it's got to come a point when the American people got to start paying attention to what's going on. You know? And how you can be looking like I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm going to vote for Hillary because I sure don't want Trump in there because he's a racist. Well, you know what? If you actually did a little bit of research on Trump, you might find out he's not as racist as you think. Now, am I advocating that everybody vote for Trump? Sort of, because actually I kind of like Trump because the mainstream media hates him. I don't know much more about him other than that. All right? But do I think he's actually going to get in there and do some something good? I don't know. But if he buys us enough time to finally sort everything out without depleting our rights or getting us into World War III... I would say that I would rather have the lesser of two evil in that case. But if I vote for Hillary, I know exactly what I'm getting because I've already seen her track record. Corruption after corruption after corruption, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, if somebody sits there and lies to your face once, all right, and then repents of that, I can understand there's a little bit of forgiveness in there. But if they're lying to your face repeatedly, over and over, in front of the same judge that would actually have you thrown up in jail for doing exactly that, then I say there's a problem. What do you think, Thomas? Yep, that's it. Under the bus again.
Under the bus.
I think that the government threw the American people under the bus. Honestly. And
it's happened.
Yeah, I hate using the term the government. Because...
Well, you know, this is the thing, man. There's a guy, met him through Facebook, he's a big part of this other little political party they're pushing for and he just blasts people with trigger terms, you know, terms to basically instill extreme emotions and whatnot on people. And his term constantly, and of course he got so angry whenever I pointed out the truth of it, but his terms constantly whenever he talked about Congress and all that stuff is, we're going to get in there and throw the whores out of office. But the fact is, they're not whores. They're more like pimps, and the American populace has been turned into the whores. Against their wishes, for the most part, or without their consent or knowledge, you know. They're selling us down the river like we're nothing more than basically cattle.
I would venture to go as far out on a limb to say that slavery never stopped. It just added more people to the roster. You know, mm-hmm. I know that sounds bad, but in reality, people sometimes get
the impression. Eliminated a version of slavery that was more visible, is what they've done.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. In America. The people around the world that kind of look over at America and they think that American people's like really got it made. And essentially you do have it made as long as you
comparatively.
As long as you don't shake
rock
the tree.
The boat.
If you rock the boat or if you shake the tree, if you preach your constitution to a police officer, you're going to find out real fast that you don't have any rights.
You start shaking a political tree, you'll see some really crazy nuts drop out of that tree and hit you right in the head.
Yeah, and when you hear a police officer say, oh, well, you're a constitutionalist, that police officer should be a constitutionalist because he took an oath. He swore an oath that said he was going to preserve your rights. He was going to preserve the Constitution and uphold the Constitution, but that's not the case. If he's standing there telling you, oh, you're a constitutionalist, you should be as well, then you got a problem there, because he doesn't even know the Constitution enough to understand that he's the one that sat there and told everybody that he was going to protect it, and he ain't doing it now. He's violating your rights, and it's as simple as that. Now, I'm not anti-police. I'm not even anti-government. I'm anti-stupidity and anti-corruption. And these individuals out there are getting by with things that if you took away that police officer's right, you're going to jail. If you took away the judge or the politician, any of these representatives, you're going to jail. And so, as far as being a slave over here in the United States, you are a slave to the system if you're involved in the system. If you're going, you got to go pay for a driver's license, otherwise you could get thrown in jail for driving without that license. That's by force.
You got to get a marriage license, or else you get a bunch of rights taken away from you that are actually yours from birth.
You got to have permission to have a business. You got to have permission to get married. You got to have permission
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Yeah, exactly.
Some more?
More? He wants more.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But you think that doesn't constitute slavery? If you don't get up every morning and go to work to pay the man for your electricity bill, to pay the man for your taxes, they will literally sell your property on the courthouse steps if you don't pay your taxes within a year or two.
That's the one, not the electricity. It's the taxes, because that's basically insuring that you can't break free of the financial system, because you constantly have to have those dollars to pay that. Yes. If you didn't have to pay taxes, you could at some point or another work out whatever you have to with other people to trade with them directly and avoid using that Federal Reserve toilet paper for anything.
Yeah.
But because you have to pay taxes on any kind of gain or loss, you are now having to earn those dollars, and you're now trapped in that same system. You're having to wipe with that toilet paper, and it's giving everybody a rash.
Two Dog pointed out something brilliant, all right? The Native Americans have been on reservations for years, trying to hold on to their own cultures and their own freedoms and their own form of governments in their own nation. And now the American people actually get a taste of what it's like to literally live on a reservation. So, that's brilliant. I mean, He says, now in America, no matter where you live, welcome to the reservation. Now the American people know their plight. They know what they've been dealing with. And, you know, in one sense, it kind of makes me sad in the heart because it's an eye-opener. It really is, seriously is an eye-opener, what they've been saying for all this time. And on the other hand, it's kind of heartwarming that now the American people can get it. They can understand, you know, because now they're actually living it. You know, you're relying on the government for certain things because they're basically hindering every process that you're trying to make yourself better. You're trying, you get out there on your land, you know, you got to have permits to build this or permits to build that. They got cultures.
If you have to have a permit to do something on your land, it's not your land.
Yeah. That's the whole deal.
Just think of that. If you have to ever give anybody money in order to have property and exist on property, that's not owning something, that's renting it.
Well, my suggestion to people out there who want to own their own property, you look into zoning laws. You make sure that whatever land that you buy is, number one, listed as private property, and number two, is in a no zone. It's not zoned. Because as long as you have zoning laws, you have regulations that the government can enforce.
Make sure you get your mineral rights, too.
Yep, make sure you get your mineral rights. That's another good one. And so before you buy a piece of land, you make sure that there ain't no catches, no hitches to it. And when they give these people the land and called them reservations, you know, and said that you're protected as long as you're on this land or whatever, they also made sure they had regulations on those people. So, you know, there were certain things that they couldn't do. In order to be able to keep that land and that freedom, they had to agree to certain things.
Well, they also gave them the garbage land that nobody else wanted, and as soon as they realized there was something valuable on it, they'd kick them off of it and give them another piece of land that was basically not wanted by anybody.
Yep.
Far from home, man. That's why they called it the Trail of Tears.
And if you go back and look through some of history's times and you see some of the things that that they had to witness, such as the, you know, people would literally be riding on trains, shooting buffaloes and just leaving them lay, just for sport.
Oh, no, it wasn't sport. They were being paid to do it by the government. And you know why they were doing it, right?
Yeah, well, maybe there were some of them getting paid, or maybe all of them getting paid, but, you know, some of them was enjoying just to go.
Oh, yeah, they were doing it for fun, of course, as well. But, you know, because it was basically, that's the type of thing to them that was considered a gravy job.
Yep.
If you've ever been somewhere and saw somebody doing a bunch of menial tasks that don't require a lot of effort,
they come
and
with a higher
consuming
reward.
Most of their time, it's like busy work. And heard somebody say, oh, you're sucking up all the gravy. Well, that's it right there.
Yep.
It's all the cushy jobs, you know, the jobs that are fun, the jobs that are easy. And that's what these guys that were just riding along the back of a train in a one of the cars, just firing out the window and shooting and killing buffalo and leaving them lay. Because they didn't want them gumming up the works with the railroad tracks. They didn't bother to take the time to put the tracks together to where the buffalo could basically be avoided without having to kill them.
So how
they didn't care that other people were actually that's basically like them riding down the rails. You're a farmer that has a bunch of cows outside, and them going, hey, these cows are, you know, a danger to our trucks coming through here, and just, you know, having people sitting on the back on the bed of a truck shooting your cows and killing them.
That's taking away their livelihood, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know one thing I know, because I do have Cherokee heritage, right? My grandmother, my mom's mom, was full-blooded Cherokee, all right? So I don't know what that makes me as far as my mutt mix that I got, because I'm like French-Canadian/Cherokee and who knows what else. But I do know that there's a lot of stories that my grandma used to talk about and stuff, and doggone it, I missed the point. I had something on the tip of my brain that I wanted to share, but I lost it. Anyway, I have I have feelings for things that went down in history that I just can't seem to get the words out. I'm gonna have to think this one out here, man. My grandmother was a really wonderful lady. If you would ever met her, she was awesome. And she taught me a whole lot about life in general. I got a lot of my good morals. There were things that the Native American communities out there went through and things that they did, the respect. Now I remember what it was like, what I was talking about. When these folks had to take from the land, they gave back to the land. They paid respect if they had to shoot an animal for food, you know. And they were thankful for every single thing they got. They didn't go out there and ride trains and lay waste to stuff just for money or fun or pleasure. It was a survival thing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a wasteful society and a society that is literally trying to work as far into nature, you know, to work in harmony with nature is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And, you know, when you go around and you do something like what they did back then, shooting up what these folks would, you know, not only classify as beauty, but also life-sustaining food source that you're trying to basically clear out the population, you're essentially killing them off, man. You're destroying their communities. And it was intentional. They wanted something back that they already gave them. You know what I mean? So...
Right.
I don't know. We got double standards in our government as opposed to the actual citizens. We got two sets of rules. One for you, the people, and one for the ruling class elite. And money can get you a lot of stuff in this world. It can get you out of jail. It can get you to never even have to go to jail. You pay the right people the right amount of cash and all's forgiven. But what about that poor guy like you was talking about earlier, Thomas? The poor guy, it only takes a nail in the tire to break his bank. And then suddenly, you know, there it is. His whole world starts collapsing like a house of cards.
Right.
Oh, you was typing a message in here. Why don't you read that message out or tell people what it is?
Well, Q-Dog said that, hold on, I've lost it now. Kill our source of food and they beat us. And I said, indeed. And I said, same with controlling our means of transferring value.
Yep.
I said, money, and he said, yes. And I said, money is nothing more than a means of communicating value. And the central banks have found a way to distort that message so it always benefits them. Their price for that communication is way too high. Those dollars that we call toilet paper now, the only reason that we use those is because it's like the electrons going through the telephone lines to carry your voice from, you know, one location to another, to carry a message, you know.
And the word, the actual word Federal Reserve should be changed, because it should state Private Reserve, because it's a misnomer, because people think that it's government related when in reality it's a private bank.
Well, right, it is government related, but the only relation it has is the same relation that the slave owners had with the government, meaning basically if a slave ran away, the slave owner didn't go out and spend his resources to recapture that slave. He sent the government to do it. We paid for it with our tax dollars. So it was a cush deal for that slave owner, because he didn't have to actually earn what he got from those slaves by doing what it took to basically keep them.
And this is the thing.
This is the change that we've had. We have slave owners now, too. It's called wage slavery. But they have to earn those slaves, meaning they have to give them something to make them, to retain their services, their obedience.
Yeah, and another point, another point of fact of what you and Two Dog was talking about communicating money. The only reason why there was ever any paper money even allowed was so that, you know, if you own gold or silver, you didn't have to have a ton of it in your pocket. You could actually have it somewhere, and that would be the communication between you and the other that this is, you can go redeem this for silver, right? Instead of having your pants fall down because you got a pocket full of gold and silver, you could have this paper money in there, and you could take it, you know, to the bank, and the bank would give you reimbursement for its value in silver. And so that's the only reason for paper money. But nowadays, the reason for paper money is it can be printed just like you said, just like toilet paper. You can get money in the rolls, man.
Well, and this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand, though, too. They can actually contract that source just as easily as they've expanded it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the value of anything that's out there goes up and down based upon the contraction or expansion of that money. And those who are doing the contracting and expanding have an insider trading track, so that means they know when to sell property and resources and when to buy them back.
Yeah, and what
when
makes
the,
it...
When the value goes up, they sell it all off.
What
when
makes...
When the value goes down, they buy it all back up. And they just keep getting richer and richer and richer.
What makes it even worse than that is now that you're going to go to digital currency, you don't even have the option of the paper in your hand to show for it, because digital currency could be snatched away from you just like that.
Well, there's one benefit to that, though, and that's that it's a lot easier for an average individual to subvert that entire system than it is with the system that we have right now, using paper and using enclosed systems and banks and stuff like that.
Yeah, but see that, I'm thinking...
You could literally have a hacker hack the system and release the information so we would know how much money is actually in the system. And that is the biggest drawback that we have right now, is that not only do we not know how much money is actually physically in the system, how many zeros there are out there for you to trade and barter for, but you also don't know what's on the minds of the people who are whether they're going to add more to it or take more away from it.
Yeah, well, I was getting
you have no idea when they're going to do that, and it's too late by the time they've done it and you do find out, even if you were to find out.
I was getting ready to point out such as a closed-loop system such as Bitcoin right now, where it's people actually doing their own version of finances.
Right.
And government trying to figure out a way to weasel their way into this realm. You know, or...
Oh, they don't have... Well, I don't know about the government, but the central banks don't have any problem with that. Because people buy and sell Bitcoin for what? Dollars. Euros. Central bank currency.
Yeah, but
and
what...
And they have a free printing press to just make as much as they want, so they can buy as many as they want and start manipulating that market, too.
Well, my deal was that it's not as easy to steal your Bitcoins as it is just your digital currency, say, on your Visa or your credit card or something like that.
Right, yeah, your local law enforcement can't just step in and mess with it. The FBI can't really step in and mess with it. It's a big, nasty mess for them to do that. But the fact remains, though, that for those who have resources, they can steal it from you, because they can drive the value of what you have down. And then by soaking up the market, once the value goes down, they can drive the value way up.
Yep.
And now they're sitting on a pile of them that are worth a fortune, and they just use it to convert into other resources. Again, it's just another, for them, it's another scam for them to use to funnel all the physical resources into their pockets without having to do any physical labor.
So would you agree or disagree in the fact that having a little bit of silver in your pocket, a little bit of gold in your pocket's a whole lot better than some digital or some doggone paper? I'm just saying, the modern day coins, look at the modern day coins out there.
I don't think that's good enough.
Well,
I think it's a step in the right direction, but I think you're going to have to go further than that. The real, this is the thing, okay, a lump of gold has no real intrinsic value of its own except what somebody imparts upon it.
Yeah.
Which means that if you have a nugget laying on the ground, You know, I can throw a chunk of iron ore on the ground in your house, and you'd be like, hey, quit throwing that trash around here. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but I understand.
The same person, if they have the skill set, they now have this value of what to do with that iron ore that can make a wrench out of it, and other people want that wrench. It's no longer me throwing trash on your floor. I've now given you something for free for you to use to make, you know, something valuable out of it that you can then trade, say, for a chick, some eggs or something from, you know, your neighbor who works on trucks and also happens to have some chickens.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to work around to, that, you know, things like, I don't know, even non-perishables or whatever. Even like a bottle of alcohol has some sort of value to it, you know. It's depending on what somebody's willing to pay or trade for it. But
Right. Something
in your pocket as opposed to a Federal Reserve, which pretty much said that you don't never even own that dollar. It's just an IOU between the government and the Federal Reserve that interest is paid on. You know, we loan the government this amount of money, and our interest rates, that's what their national debt is in reality, is the interest that's owed on all the money combined with everything else, all the bills of the government. That's why it keeps on flying up like that.
Or they borrowed money from the government, from the central bank, and then loaned it to another country or something.
Yep. And
but
so
the fact is, they shouldn't have had to borrow that money to give to them in the first place.
If you was a banker, you could have the national debt clock as a fan, you know, to keep you cool, because and smiling, you know, that's that whole phrase, smiling all the way to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's what they're doing. But the whole deal is all this corruption out there, from Hillary's email scandals to all the other scandals, and all this different stuff is a money game being played on the people. And for you to go to war, they got to convince you that somebody on the other side is trying to take away your freedom. Right, they got to convince you somebody's trying to take away your life, and they're really good at that. They have a propaganda machine called the mainstream media that can tell you that this is going on and that's going on, and unless you're standing there or you're living it, you don't know whether it's truth or fiction. In this digital realm that we live in, the new age of computer technologies and cell phones and CGI and blue screen and green screen technology, they could literally fake the news and get you to go over there and riot because you just saw somebody do something mean to a black man or vice versa, you know?
It doesn't take CGI. The angle and everything is enough.
Yeah.
It's like that image of a cylinder. The truth is the cylinder. But you look on at the two shadows on the wall, depending on which direction the light is shining on it. Both are true. There's a square on one wall and there's a circle on the other wall, but they're not the truth.
Well, that's
the cylinder is the whole truth.
That's
and
where
about the truth.
That's where people literally need to be. I don't want to say the word skeptical of everything that they hear, but at least conscious enough to not just absorb it and say, yeah, this is reality. Question
right.
Everything.
Well, to be a true skeptic and not this nonsense that people have basically tacked onto it, destroying the semantics of the term, the true meaning of the term, is to be basically somebody who just asks for facts and data.
That's it.
You know, if
verify.
You get facts and data that you can verify, you believe those.
That's it.
You're still a skeptic, but, you know, you're a believing skeptic. You're before that, you're just an unknowing skeptic, meaning I don't know. You know, I'm not sure because I don't have the facts.
Verify the information before you pull the lever for any of the representation that's going to go before Congress and the Senate and even into the White House to represent you, the people. Because
right.
They say a lot of nice stuff. I did the video Congressman Bongwater and Bongwater for President. Those two videos I did back in 2012, and essentially it's a funny video that talks. The Congressman tells you exactly what he's going to do. He's straight up and honest. He says, "Elect me, and I'll screw you on taxes." Whereas the other guys are out there, no new taxes, you know, and once they get inside the doggone seat, then it's turned around. Well, I'm sorry, folks. We got to tax you anyway. That's the way it works. Sorry about your luck. I tried. You know, no, if you say no new taxes, then you don't support any new taxes, no matter what it is. You know? But that's the way they do it. They say and do whatever it takes to get elected, and it doesn't exclude starting fights between the black man and the white man, or the police and the civilians, or, you know, race or religion, any of those factors. It doesn't. They're not above and beyond the whole divide and conquer to the literal extent of destabilizing nations. And these folks, when we said, like I said, I hate using the term government, that the government's corrupt, because government is made up of people, all right? And it's not the entire government. There are folks within the government who are fighting against the same system that we're fighting against, but they're powerless because the numbers of people who are corrupt outweigh the ones who ain't corrupt. And then some of the ones who don't want to be corrupt, but they got skeletons in their closet, like they cheated on their wife and somebody has dirt, because that's what they do, man. They find any dirt they can on you to use to hold it against you. And that's how a lot of police officers end up being the most corrupt police officers, is because when they first get in there, they have good intentions, they want to serve and protect, and then when it all said and done, if they bend their morals or the law even in the least, and any other officer out there knows it, it's ammunition for the next time that officer needs this guy's assistance for something. You see what I mean? That's how it works, man. If you're in a corrupt system and you're not willing to bend, you will find yourself on the not on the inside, so to speak. I'm trying to figure, you said the word earlier, of how the folks that are in the clique, you know. If you're an honest officer that stands up for everything, you're going to find yourself outside of that clique, you know. Membership has its privileges, and you're not one of the members because you don't want to bend the law so that everybody else can benefit as far as financially or whatever. And this whole asset forfeiture seizure law that was on that deal, you know, you'd be surprised at how many small town communities have multi-million dollars worth of equipment that they not only got from government grants, but they got through seizure laws, where they steal basically the people's stuff and auction it off to buy more equipment. Now, I think that the police departments that are honorable and doing the right job should be taken care of. They should have the best equipment and stuff. But when you start blurring the line between what is the military and what is the police departments of the world, that gets kind of scary. And then they actually wonder why it is that people say that we're becoming a police state, you know. We're having our government brought down on us, you know, and it's supposed to be the posse comitatus, which says that you can't use the military against its own people. Well, you ain't using the military against its own people if you got the doggone police department under a different name, dressed like the military and equipped like the military, but they're not the military, so you're only using the police to do the work. You see what I'm saying? There's some scary parallels there. Look at the military and look at the police departments, and then ask yourself what's going on. And if you're out protesting and you got guys that look like Nazi stormtroopers coming down the way with pepper spray and all that, those guys and gals in those uniforms, they think they're doing an honorable job, but in reality what they are doing is depleting the Constitution that they swore to uphold. And it's unfortunate because, you know, when stuff goes down and people get shot or whatever, now we got to up the laws. We got to up the ante a bit. And so now the police have to be given more authority, more force. And when does that stop? When does it stop until the point in time when, okay, we got to get rid of the police because the police have become so corrupt. So guess what? We gotta erase the posse comitatus, and now we gotta have the military to protect the people. You see where it's going there? And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's what they do. It's continuity of government. You're gonna have the you have the luxury of the police right now. You better hang on to it.
And that's Two Dog was saying. That's why you never hear about the atrocities that were perpetrated against the Native Americans here. And all you ever, he didn't say it in there, but I mean, basically, what I was getting from it was that yeah, they talk all about the Nazis or anybody else that's not the American government or the first immigrants that came here to the country to start living here. Because they don't want to expose their own tyrannical roots.
Yep.
I mean, they were basically the Nazis to the Native Americans.
Yep.
And then of course I expanded on that and I said I blame it on the Vikings because they were pale skinned but they were still tribal and they must have been honest and and true with the Native Americans, so they didn't have any reason to fear these Europeans that were coming over with all their political nonsense, which is what they really brought. That was the sickness that they brought that caused all the problems. If they hadn't brought all that political nonsense from their kings and queens and their parliaments and all that nonsense, then we'd all still be getting along just fine.
Yeah, they pretty much...
The land would still be free. As long as you're there, it's yours. When you leave, then you clean it up and leave it so the next person can use it, you know?
They pretty much tried to erase those folks' culture, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't know how much Cherokee blood that I've got in me. I know that my grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee, and that's my mom's mom. And so I got Indian heritage in me, and I've got French-Canadian heritage in me. So I got kind of both sides of the spectrum. I'm not all of one, you know. I'm kind of the middleman, if you understand what I'm saying. My heritage basically came in and stole my heritage land, so to speak. Is that crazy or what? But
right. Try getting anything back from them.
Well, I'm not trying. I wouldn't even suggest it. But what I'm saying is that here I am in the today right now, and how we got here, it may have been a really terrible ride to get where we're at. But what we need to do from this point on is to decide where we're going to go from here. All right, are we going to try to resolve all the issues of the past, or are we going to allow the government to get so far out of hand that it's going to repeat those same issues? And now it's not just the indigenous people or the natives that were here before this whole entire thing started. Now it's a combination of all of the people that's here, you know. The Japanese Americans were treated poorly back during the war. The Irish people, just about a lot of different individuals that migrated here at some point in history were mistreated. And to this day, you know, now that we're supposedly a free nation, there's still people being mistreated. You know, but it's going to be up to us, the 320 million people in the United States, to hold that small minority accountable for their actions and their lies and their crimes, and make sure that before we say yes and vote somebody in just because their color or their sex, you know, do I think it would be cool to have the very first lady president? Only if that lady was honorable, you know? Only if
right.
She had
it's
a track record.
Having presidents that aren't qualified.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they're white or black or male or female, you know?
And even if people want to say that the president's only a puppet, at least if that puppet is out there representing the people, at least if that puppet is telling the people what the people want to hear and honestly trying to work with the Senate and the Congress to bring about these changes in a fair...
I don't want to hear puppet unless somebody's willing to point fingers and start gathering data on who the puppet master is.
Yeah, who's pulling
and
the strings.
And do something about it once you figure it out. You know?
I don't...
Who is it that really benefits from the Federal Reserve? That's one of the major puppet masters there.
Yeah.
What can we do to solve that?
I just threw that out there because every time we get into a conversation such as this, and they're like, "Oh, well, the president, he's just a puppet." No, he's not. He's a. I don't know what do you want to call it.
Well, he is a puppet, but here's the thing. Okay, he's supposed to be our puppet.
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be the cooler if you understand the terminology, you've got bouncers at a club, right?
Yep.
And one of those guys is considered the cooler because he basically calls the shots and he's the one that makes the smartest move so that they don't end up cracking skulls on people and killing people just to try to, you know, break up a couple that are fighting or something, you know?
He's supposed to be our mediator.
Right, and that cooler usually takes the biggest brunt of things. I mean, when I had something like that going on, I had my cooler. Everybody else that was helping with that situation, at most, might have had like a beer bottle or something that was thrown across an area and maybe hit them or something like that. He actually nearly lost a chunk of his pectoral muscle from somebody biting him while he was carrying them out of the club.
Yikes!
You know, because he knew if anybody else did it, that guy was most likely going to get his neck broken. The guy was really, you know, to be honest, he was probably as close to deserving it as anybody could get because he came in there and grabbed this girl that I guess he was dating and yanked her so hard he yanked her arm out of socket and knocked her down and tried to drag her out of there. Was literally trying to drag her out of there by her hair. You know?
Yeah, I was reading Two Dogs comments down there. He said, Chief Seattle said there's enough land for everyone. I agree with that. And he said, we as Indian people understand that we don't own the land, that the land owns us.
Right.
And, you know,
It's the mentality that when you go away, everything goes back into the box.
Yep.
You know, when the Monopoly game is over, everything goes back to the box. You don't get to keep any of it when you walk away from the table. When you die, it's all left behind for somebody else.
Yep.
You know, and it should go to those who are going to treat it the best and make the use of it that's going to be the most beneficial to everyone, you know?
That's the way it should be, and that's the way nature is, you know. When you're done with it, nature takes it back.
Right.
You know? And that's what a lot of people don't understand, you know. You know, people try to build themselves a stairway to heaven paved of gold and silver and jewels and the fancy things, and they don't understand that they're going to spend their entire lifetime and miss out on the true gold, which is their family and their friends and stuff like that, trying to get all these things. The more I can add to my deal, you know, I'm living comfortably. I got all this stuff on my shelves, and some of which I'll never even use. You know, I picked it up once when I bought it, and maybe twice, and you know, and if somebody needed it, I loaned it to them or whatever, but it's still there, you know, just in case or whatever. And so all this stuff, when you're gone, just like Thomas said, you don't take it with you. You came into this world naked, and you're going to go out just as naked as you came in, man. Ashes to ashes.
Yep.
Yep. That's the fact. But in the meantime, while we're here and we're trying to bring about some sort of real change, not the political version of change, hope and change, where you now see a country that is so divided among racial and political and religious lines that it's just crazy. We're talking about real change in the thinking of the people to understand that the United States Constitution that I keep talking about, the three emboldened words on the very top of that, it says, we the people. All right? And that is the true power of the government, is we the people. They can only get by with what we allow. And if we allow people that have literally broken the law or violated the Constitution to remain in seats of power, then we're going to get what we get. We're going to have that so-called police state, well, the FEMA camps and all the things that the conspiracy guys talk about. It's coming. And maybe it's already here to some extent. It's already here because they've literally rewritten laws to give the government yet even more power. The executive and the legislative and the judicial branches of government were deliberately separated for just such an emergency. Just what, like the doggone Supreme Courts and all the other different stages of the court, civil court, criminal court, you know, you even got court for the kids. So, juvenile courts, what they call it. But, you know, if those lines get blurred and one court has more power You know, the gold fringe is on the flag, and you don't know the rules when you step within that court. You don't say the right words, and those right words can be your wrong words can be your worst enemy in that circumstance. You lost before you even entered gates. And so the people need to become educated. They need to educate each other. Before you go out and protest, you make sure that somebody isn't just repeating something that they heard on CNN or MSNBC or ABC or Fox News or any of the mainstream medias, because the information presented to you might not actually be the truth. It may be a skewed version where they take a little tiny clip of something that somebody said that if you was to actually say,
hey, wait. Maybe?
Yeah, well, either way, listen.
You mean it most likely is?
If you step back, instead of just listening to that one little clip, and you step back far enough where you heard the entire text in its context, you might understand that this guy wasn't saying he hates Mexicans and all Mexicans are drug dealers. He was saying that the illegals that are coming across here are bringing guns, are bringing drugs, are bringing diseases.
When it comes to Trump, here's the biggest thing people have to realize. He is a self-taught speaker. And he makes a lot of mistakes. What's in his head versus what comes out of his mouth is not always accurate. It doesn't match what's in his head.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a whole platoon of people that are used to writing political speeches.
He's not reading from a teleprompter. He's
He was not, up until he joined this race, a politician.
Yep.
He's a businessman who's used to basically cracking wise and rubbing elbows and getting people to basically, work with him.
What I see with him is what you see is what you get. And I think that's what most of the American people like about him, is because the mainstream media hates his guts.
Well, the other thing, though, too, is that they are fearing immigration for the same reason the Native Americans should have feared it.
Yep.
If you want to know what will happen from unchecked immigration, just ask the Native Americans what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same way anywhere. I mean, anytime you get a whole horde of people who are running from something that is, you know, on them, like, you know, starvation and, you know, drought or anything like that, if there's enough of them, they become a horde of locusts. And this country doesn't have enough for everyone. In fact, the only reason that the country is where it's at right now is because they've been living off the carcass that they stole from the Native Americans, who did not exploit this country to begin with.
Well,
they've only had 200 years to be, or 300 years to be digging and exploiting the resources that are here, whereas they've been doing it for thousands of years back in Europe.
Well, here's another really good point to put out there. Is that, let's say you're like totally against communism. You don't want no communism. And it's not like a Russia or China's going to rush in and force communism on you. It'd be a gradual thing. You could have people immigrate under whatever religion or whatever political ideology, and then when they get here, they breed, they have children, they raise their children under the same views, and before too long, it's like you just, all the people, no matter what color you are, if you're an American with a constitution, you just been outbred or essentially overtaken without ever even having a fight, because after they're here for so long, they are citizens, right? And they have the right
to. I say we let all the immigrants that want to come here, as long as the country that they're coming from, they have to take one politician in return.
Yeah.
For every person they send, they got to take a politician, or a lawyer, or somebody else, a banker, you know.
But do you understand what my example it means about how if you got all these people running in from Mexico and illegals, and after a certain point, it's kind of like your locust deal. And I'm not calling Mexican people locusts because my stepfather's Mexican and I love him to pieces. He's a wonderful person.
No, a locust, though, is a horde.
Individual
that's a problem. It's when there's a mass quantity of people.
But what I'm saying,
we had a mass influx of Europeans that came in, and they literally wiped out the Native American people and their culture almost completely.
I agree, but what I'm trying...
You know, we just have to basically preserve our culture while allowing them to bring theirs in, too.
What I'm trying to point out here is, though, that when that happened, when the Europeans happened, they came here, they had families, they had their kids had kids and so on, and pretty soon the natives become the minority. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, this is the thing, though.
The American people.
We have something they did not have, so we don't have an excuse to have the same thing happen now that happened then.
Yeah, but what
we have the ability to communicate in such a vast quantity and spread knowledge and information, we can stop the hateful, racist, ignorant nonsense that happened when they came here from happening when these people come here.
I agree, but listen.
Either from our side or their side.
I agree, but hear me out. What I'm trying to point out here is the American people, regardless of what their heritage is, regardless of what their background is, when you got all these individuals coming in with different ideologies, with an unchecked kind of immigration, you could have a whole bunch of jihadists move in and basically take over the entire nation by outbreeding everybody on the planet. Next thing you know, Sharia law is the law, the Constitution's gone, so the American way of life could literally be overwhelmed.
You mean the current American way of life? Because before the Europeans got here, the American way of life was to go out and hunt and fish and, you know, live off the land and respect the land, and you were born out of it and you returned back to it, you know?
I'm agreeing with you, but I guess I'm not getting my point across. It's because what I'm trying to point out here is that if I was a jihadist and I wanted to take over a nation, I wouldn't do it violently. I would just start sending my people to immigrate, right? And I would tell them, when you get there, you have as many kids as you possibly can, and you raise them as a jihadist throughout their entire life, and you try to bring anybody else that you can over to the other side. Then when it's all said and done, we will outnumber every single one of them, and then we will use their constitution to take and implement our Sharia law. That's what I'm trying to say. And this doesn't just have to go along with Islam. It could come from any nation out there, communist ideology or whatever. The only good thing that we've got going, and the reason why this country has stayed so long, is because there are so many different diverse ideologies out there. You got checks and balances that are covered by that Constitution under that free speech law that gives you the right to say what you want to say, even though you're a jerk for saying it. But either way, you can't overtake that Constitution unless you can get those peoples in the seat of power. And that's the whole battle going on between the Democrats versus the Republican side, is who of that establishment is actually going to control that seat of power. And if the people ever lose complete and utter control over that system, and there ain't those checks and balances, then you got all of a democratic, a liberal point of view. They rule the country. Everything goes to the left instead of everything going to the right, or vice versa. I like that happy medium in the middle where they're still arguing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And until we get that understood, that, you know, the American dream that it had started off with, or even I would rather go back to the way that it was before Europe came over here and, you know, have that kind of mentality as far as society goes. But at the same sense, here we are in the here and now. We got to make the best out of a bad situation. The American dream, as I've been told for and my grandfather fought for in World War II, and all those soldiers who lived and died to try to protect what we believe to be the American dream, that American dream could be overtaken with unchecked immigration. And it's that simple. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's the government's responsibility, though, on that checking of that. We need to do that ourselves.
Well,
you know,
I agree.
Each individual needs to question the people they do business with, the people that they live near and are willing to basically put up with. And if those people are not able to get along with everybody, then they don't belong in the community.
I agree.
Literally don't sell them a house. Whoever owns the property in the area, do not sell them a house.
If you're going,
don't let them, you know, hook up to the electric grid. Don't let them have anything that you guys are in control of at that point, and that will eliminate any jihadists trying to take over. Because as much as they try to indoctrinate their kids to become jihadists, they're going to have to go out and learn from other people by proxy from them basically dealing with other people.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying? So they're going to come to actually have friends that are not jihadists. They're going to end up intermarrying in those groups at some point because their parents are just not going to be able to control that situation. They're going to get away from them. And it will dilute down all of that the same way everything else has been diluted down.
Well, that all falls under the whole, once a man has tasted freedom, he will fight to the death to preserve it. And so when
exactly.
these people come here and they see what America is really about, you know, I'm not talking about the political or the racist portion of it. I'm talking about how, you know, you have opportunities here. You know, even in the worst possible scenarios, you still got to be honest with yourself. You do have opportunities. They may not be as good as the maybe higher class, middle class, or even upper echelon or whatever, but you do, to this extent right now, you can still go out and buy you a car, you know, if you're willing to abide by certain rules that you got to have a license on it and a driver's license or whatever. So, to some extent, America is still a whole heck of a lot better than living in some third world country where you got a dictator that has a police or a military force that is in bed with the doggone drug industry, if you understand what I'm saying. Our side of the spectrum is, it's still the same side of the spectrum, but it's just a little bit weaker version. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ours is in bed with industry, and possibly some of them being in bed with the drug lords and stuff. That's the whole Benghazi.
Well, this is the thing that really gets me. They're claiming all these drugs are coming across the Mexican border. The Mexican border. How much can you carry on your back or in a truck compared to a large ship? Because that's where the real drugs are coming into the country, are our ports.
Oh yeah,
that means that they're not limited to anywhere, because they literally have the oceans of the world are all connected together. They're all connected together. So you can literally come from South Africa and go through, you know, the Panama Canal, or you can drop down through around the bottom of South America if you have to, or whatever, to avoid being detected, and come up and end up in a port up in Seattle without ever having to go across the United States. So now you have drugs that came from poppy fields in Africa that are, you know, they literally went across the ocean and ended up in somebody's vein in Seattle without ever having touched any other American soil. How do you stop that?
Well, I'll tell you.
Well, you put a tighter grip on those ports, but they want all those ports open and free and easy to get in and out of, because that's how they're making all their dirty deals, these big corporations and whatnot, with other countries where they basically, you know, subjugate people to all kinds of horrible conditions in order to get really cheap labor out of them.
Yeah,
things that if they tried to pull that crap here where we could see it, they'd go to jail.
Yeah, I tell you how.
So if we really want to solve that problem, we need to start tightening the ports up and start, you know, looking not only what all is coming in, but where it came from and what type of a situation it came from. And anybody who's involved in bringing that stuff here, if it came from something that there was some illegal activity tied to, they need to be arrested for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you
how. No, not just fine. No, sorry. I don't care if you are the CEO of Walmart. You are buying products from China, a company in China that has a bunch of slave children, slave child labor going on there. You go to jail.
Yeah. If you look
and
outside,
before you know it, you won't see them buying from these other countries where they get these cheap deals that no one can compete with here.
Yeah.
Whenever you're doing labor here in America, because they'll all be in jail.
That's right. If you look outside of some of these factories that you've mentioned out there, they literally have nets around the building so that people don't jump off and kill themselves.
Well, they're not just not killing themselves. They're not escaping the labor system.
Yeah.
Not even through death. They're going to drag them right back in.
Two Dog says civilization
is
a big lie. And I have to agree with him at this point in history that civilization is the big lie. You know, but once again, it all falls down to those big three bold words right above the Constitution, we the people. Because If you, the people out there, want drugs, guess what? There's going to be a market for them, and they're going to get them in here any way possible because they're going to make a lot of money of it. If you, the people,
right, and
decide,
what's the fastest way to make people want something?
You get them addicted to it.
No, it's not. The fastest way to make somebody want something they've never had is to tell them they're not allowed to have it.
Yep.
You can't have this. God, no, I gotta have it.
What's
it really like, you know?
The golden
industry. What is
this thing?
They won't let me have it. Must be fantastic. Because during my childhood, anytime my parents told me I couldn't have something, it was usually because it's something that tasted really good. Yeah. You know, cake. You can't have any cake. We're eating steak. You can't have any cake. God, I love cake. So this thing that the government's telling me I can't have, I'll bet I'll love it.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, they're addicted to it.
The gold,
can't let it go.
The gold industry, the diamonds and silver and all precious metals and gems industry out there, you'd be surprised at how many atrocities occur just to get that diamond ring on your finger with the gold band.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to make everybody feel bad for having a gold band, you know. I got a couple tiny pieces of gold in mine, but pretty much, I'm just like everybody else. It's like when you go to Walmart and you want to buy something, you know, unless you actually pay attention to it, you'll have it before you know that it came from a place, like we've explained, that somebody was abused to get it, right?
Or the land was destroyed and the people living there are now suffering for it.
That doesn't justify the fact that I know that there could be a potential that something I own might be, somebody might have been abused to get, you know, what I got. You know, I paid.
You need freedom of information to be able to hold those people accountable.
Yep.
Before you go and buy from them, you know, and refuse even to just use boycotting to solve the problem. You have to know what's going on. And they have covered all that up. And our government allows them to do that, you know. They don't have to tell you what's in Coca-Cola. You know why? Because they claim if they told you what all was in it, then you could go out and make your own. And they don't have any way to protect it, you know, legally, to keep anybody from making it.
But in reality, you pour that on a battery terminal that's all green and corroded up, it'll eat that corrosion right off the top of it. So, you know, how's that working the chemistry in your body?
That's not right, but that's not the flavoring. We're talking about the flavoring, to get the flavoring of the Coca-Cola.
Well,
there's only some things that are listed on there because they know people know it's there, like the phosphoric acid and the cola from the cocoa leaf and whatnot, and the cola bean. But how exactly it's mixed together, well, there may be some stuff in there you don't know about because they're not required to divulge that information.
Yep.
They divulge it as flavoring agents.
Not to mention,
you know, some other generic term.
Not to mention the processes in which they were actually got to you as far as refined and the violence incurred in order to get the cocoa beans from point A to point B. And, you know, there's some places in this world, like in the Philippines, where children are used to dive down in big old wells that are mining gold. They're breathing through an air pump that they could get toxic fumes out of the gas fumes out the doggone.
Yeah, basically no
itself.
Filters. They're just pushing raw air in that's coming straight from the mine shafts and whatnot.
And so instead of these kids being in a schoolroom, they're down there risking their lives on a regular basis to make a little bit of gold that wouldn't equate to about maybe $30 a day if they're lucky in order to feed their entire family. And that's a doggone shame, man. But if more people had to look in the faces of these children that were actually doing this, I bet gold prices would drop to the dirt in a hurry if you had some really honestly good-hearted folks that saw what they saw, you know. Because if you saw the children, if you actually had to stand there and look in the face and look at the hands and the fingers of these children, bloodied or scarred or whatever, you know, would you really seriously still go out to Walmart and buy that product?
That's just it, though. That's what the money has been designed for now, is to separate you from, through ignorance, from the violence that your products and resources and your work and your labor and everything create elsewhere.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, exactly. All these people running around in California thinking they're so high and mighty because they're running solar cells, but their solar cells were all, either the chemicals were refined or the cells themselves were literally manufactured in another country, leaving all the filth and waste and disgusting garbage that's poisoning the people where they were manufactured, instead of having to choke on that filth and whatnot by generating that power right there.
In California. There's a documentary out there for whatever you think of Gaddafi and how he was literally murdered. I mean, flat out, there wasn't no trial. He was murdered. But for whatever you think about him, for some reason, he could literally ride around in a car in his own country with no convertible top, and nobody was trying to kill him. You know, and the documentary that I saw on him, essentially he was trying to unite all of Africa, and he told basically the European nations and outside of his country that they no longer were going to accept the dollar for oil, that he wanted to be paid in gold, and he was talking about uniting all of Africa, you know, and basically digging that trench in from the ocean to bring water in so people could garden inside the deal. Now, can I verify those facts? No, I can only tell you what I heard. But if that was the case, and you could see how he was treated because he bucked the system, it ain't no difference than the average Joe out there bucking the system. If you say something that the government doesn't like, they got methods by which they can make sure you don't ever say it again, if necessary.
Or some corporation has enough pull.
Why do you think we ain't got no free energy devices out there on the market right now? You know, it's continuity of government. It's national security, whatever, for whatever reason. Or so many patents have been bought up just in case you stumble across an idea.
You know that they give money away to develop that technology too, right?
Well, sure, but then what happens to the technology afterwards?
That's what I want to know. That's exactly it.
Yeah, because if you come across
it... What happens to the people who develop it?
Uh-huh. If you come across it and you decide you want to patent it, nope, sorry, that was in your contract. I gave you the money for research. It's my deal. But do you see it hit the shelves? Is anybody driving around in hydrogen cars? Guess what? Yes, they are. Literally. Really. There are machines out there that run off of hydrogen. There are tractor trailers. There are forklifts, tractors, and all kinds of machinery out there that literally run off of hydrogen technology. But it's not mainstream in the market. It's not out there in every single car lot. You don't see this technology everywhere. But it does exist. So Stan Myers was doing something right back in the 70s when he drove his dune buggy around. The military talks about by 2016, which is this year, that they're going to start working towards running the Navy ships off of hydrogen technology. So you'd have a big hydrogen generation plant on the ship. They wouldn't have to bring their fuel with them. They could pick it up as they went, convert it to electricity, and run huge motors to turn the turbines that do the rest of the work. So it's not like the technology isn't out there. It's not like it doesn't exist. It's that the money says you'll get it when we're ready to give it to you. It's like the whole iPhone deal or Apple whatever. Yeah, you got this one that has a camera on it, but you got to sell all the other ones before you can sell the newer version. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works, man.
Well, I would say anybody who's interested in generating electricity, too, should have a look at this thing called the AuraGen. The site is aurasystems.com. A-U-R...
Throw that link in and I'll post it in on the Super Chat.
Systems. So.
And let's see. If you want a diamond ring, think of a 6-year-old child that was shot in the head in the diamond mines because he didn't want to dig and work. Two Dog posted that out there in the chat room. That's, man. I'm telling you, if folks actually seen behind the scenes of things that they go buy. He also said, as far as Walmart, we had a nationwide ban on them for illegally searching out burial grounds to build their stores on. So that's another thing about the whole respect thing. Corporations don't have no respect for the dead. They'll move entire cemeteries just so they can get a good plot of land. You think they won't? Go look around. You might find out some things. You know, money talks and BS walks is what they say. And he who has the gold makes the rules. I know it ain't funny. It's ridiculous, man. But if people actually saw behind the scenes, if they saw the suffering that some folks have to go through in order to get certain products, I'm thinking it might be a whole lot less a profit in the pockets of the big corporations out there. You know, and I'm not anti-capitalism or anti-business. I'm like live and let live. You treat somebody right, you give them a fair deal on something, you barter, you trade, you work for things, and everything's cool. But if you're exploiting individuals, no matter which country they're in, to get what it is that you got, then in my view, that's wrong. So, you know, you don't take advantage of the helpless and basically go over and pollute their environment and steal from them. It's like, I don't understand. Africa is probably one of the most mineral-rich countries.
Oh, yeah, they're the number one producer of tantalum, one of the most one of the metals that is most greedily sought after by the military, because it extends the life of a barrel tremendously just by putting a thin coating of it on the inside of a barrel. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of wear and tear that goes on inside of a gun barrel when a bullet is fired out of it with all that pressure from the explosion. So if you're rapid firing it, just like, you know, running an engine when way up above the RPMs that it should be running at,
yep,
generating all this heat and not giving it a chance to escape the engine, and ends up burning the engine up. Well, you're doing the same thing in the military when they're firing those guns constantly. So they go after it and they pay a fortune to line this stuff. It's like the equivalent of throwing the barrels into a nuclear reactor to line and coat the inside of those things with that tantalum. They're paying a fortune for all that metal, but guess what? The people over in Ethiopia are not the ones getting that money. Just the corporations that are owned by entities outside of Ethiopia, where they're mass producing that stuff and mining it.
And what's sickening about what you just explained there, which is the truth, is that those are the nations that we keep seeing the commercials where the little babies are starving to death. You know? How are you going to have a country that has access to all these minerals that can't even feed their own people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a shame. It's disgusting, man.
But they're in a position where they will work for nothing because they have no other options. All their other options have been stolen from them.
Yep.
Their food has been destroyed.
When they talk about redistributing wealth, it just it makes me sick, because the
redistribute it from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There is no trickle-down economics. It's trickle-up. The only thing trickling down you don't want me to say on air.
When's the last time you seen any of the elite of the world inviting some hungry people to sit at their table and share off their plate, you know? It's the poor person that's sharing the food with the poor people. It's the middle class sharing the food with the poor people. It's not the upper echelon. The upper echelon, because of the way you're dressed, you're not even going to get into their restaurant. If you may have a really nice set of Walmart clothes on you, but you're not getting in their restaurant. Not dressed like that. If you ain't got some tuxedo on that costs $100,000 or whatever they cost, I don't know. Because I don't own the tuxedo. But either way, you know, you can go out and rent them. Maybe you'll get in then, but then they might check your references before you get in, or your credit, or your credit card, to see how much cash you can pay them. But you're not seeing them invite the poor people to sit at their table. You see the middle class and the poor people inviting each other to sit at their table. The best meal that I ever had in my entire life, I was sitting with some people that were dirt poor. and they offered me some fried potatoes that they had made, and that was all they had. And you know what? Those folks right there, they get it. They honestly get it, what it means to take care of people. And I would rather...
People who are privileged don't recognize their own privilege unless you have a serious awakening.
Yep.
And most of the time, the only way that awakening is basically wisdom. You only gain wisdom through experience. So that means for you to know what it's like to have to walk 5 miles every day to get to work in order to feed your family, you're going to have to do that for a while and see what it's like.
Yep.
The smarter you are, the less time you'll have to do it to recognize just how hard it is for those people. But it still requires the experience, or otherwise you cannot comprehend it, just like you can't comprehend what driving 1,000 miles really is like until you've done it. You just can't, there's no way to comprehend what 1,000 miles is.
Well, Donald Trump's a businessman, and he has to interact with people of all different levels of society in order to remain in business. He can't just discriminate, you know, because you're living in this particular area, I can't do business with you. No, he's gonna do business with everybody out there. And so he knows what it means to have migrant workers working with him. But if you're a company that treats your migrant workers like trash, then that word's going to trickle back down to him. Look, you really don't want to go work for that guy because he's going to do certain things to you, and yeah, it's not what you want, trust me. All right? Over there in foreign nations, yeah, they don't have that option. It's do or die. Now, people like Hillary Clinton, you know, there really are celebrities who have never actually even walked into a Walmart or a grocery store, that everything has been delivered to them via servants, whatever. You realize that? There are people who don't even know what the price of a loaf of bread is for the average Joe. Wow.
Right. Well, they've also never, if they've gone to a store, they've never gone to a store that wasn't some hotty-totty place where they basically buy the stuff cheaply from one location, shuffle it into a much more conducive environment for those people to enjoy, and then the price is so high that they don't have to worry about hobnobbing with anybody that would be considered quote-unquote undesirable.
Yeah. Well, Hillary...
And in fact, if you show up in the area with, you know, anything less than a Maserati, you'll most likely end up with the police knocking in ahead and dragging you off out to a field and, you know, leaving you for dead.
Hillary and her family have been accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and it's not be above them or below them to actually do rotten things in order to ensure that they stay at that level. Once you lived in the White House as the Commander-in-Chief or the First Lady and the First Family in the White House, and you got that lifestyle, and you got basically king and queen kind of treatment where you got protection all the time. It's easy to say you're going to take away the guns of the people because you don't have to live in the average Joe's community where violence is running rampant because somebody's stirring the pot of hate and discontent, or the economy sucks so bad that people feel it necessary to go out and rob and steal from it. It may just be a case that the economy might be good. They're just too lazy to earn what they got. But either way, you don't have the option of a gun once all this gun control comes around, but she's still going to have her armed security. You're not going to get up there and tell her that, look, I'm about sick of all your lies and criminal acts. No, you get anywhere near that place, you're going to jail. You're going to be drawn down on by some men with guns.
If you survive long enough to go to jail.
Yep. You want to go to jail, you're going to go to the morgue. One or two things going to happen, but you ain't getting anywhere close to that lady and talking to her. And you might write her a letter. I've gotten responses from two separate presidents of the United States. So you might write her a letter, but you don't know. Actually, three separate ones. The last one, I wrote a letter to Obama. I got an email back. All right, that's modern. I didn't even get the courtesy of a paper coming into a deal. But that letter coming in there probably wasn't even written by the president. It was probably a letter that was probably, you look at the message that somebody sends you, and you stamp on the signature onto a letter that was basically already pre-written for answering certain subjects. You see what I'm saying? mm-hmm. and then it's shipped to you. So I probably didn't even get to talk to the man himself to address my concerns or views or anything like that. He probably never even saw that message. He's got a whole army of people that reads his mail and sends him things that are most pertinent or whatever, and scans everything to make sure that there ain't nothing in there that shouldn't be in there or whatever. So these folks up there in the White House and the Senate and the congressmen, they're pretty much untouchable as far as that goes. You're not going to address your grievance with them because they're not even going to hear what you have to say unless you have an army of idiots out there protesting and yelling and burning things down and creating a ruckus. And then, in which case, they'll just say, see, that's why we need to get gun control, because you see what's going on over there. Cops are getting shot. Kids are getting shot. Everybody's getting shot. We need to just ban all the doggone guns. But after the guns are all banned, go take a second look and see if old Mrs. Queen Hillary or King Obama out there still have private security with guns. They can live safe using what you would have used for the Second Amendment. They can live safe. They don't have to worry about nothing. In bulletproof limousines and buildings and all away from all the craziness out there. So it don't matter if you get angry. If you do get lucky enough or crazy enough or even stupid enough to try to take a pot shot at one of these individuals, if you do manage to use the whole magic bullet scenario, such as what they say happened to Kennedy, which is, we know it's a hockahooey. I mean, anybody with common sense can see what's going on. But if you do manage to get it off, you're going to be so far up underneath the doggone jailhouse that you'll be in the morgue in China, period. You ain't going to do it. These folks are untouchable. They're built like Teflon. Nothing sticks. They can break the law left and right, and no consequences. Your pardon, diplomatic immunity, so on and so forth. It's going to stop only when the American people stop supporting the system that is literally eating you alive. And that means whenever you go buy something, you know where it came from. You find out. Look, what kind of working conditions you got down there at this factory? Oh, it's terrible. You know, the kids are abused. Well, I wouldn't buy that product. You see what I'm saying? And it's not going to be that easy because, like you said earlier, things get hidden. They get suppressed. By the time you got the dollar in your hand and go to buy the product, you're so far away from the crime that was committed to get that product to you. And if you're buying drugs from your local drug dealer, you got to wonder where he got them and where they got them and so on down the line. Trace it all the way back to where it actually even came from.
Well, I think people need to worry less about where the drugs come from and concern themselves more with why they need them, yeah. Why they want them, what's causing them to want them, because if they can investigate that, there's a good chance that they'll break themselves free with that knowledge and the ability to basically concentrate on whatever that problem is to eliminate it so that they don't need it anymore.
Well, if majority of the Americans are self-medicating, there has to be a reasoning behind it, you know? If people
For people who have ADD, they are giving the precursor to methamphetamine, to meth. And they literally give children who have obesity problems, according to their description on what a child should be and what they shouldn't be, they're giving them meth to deal with it. They are literally snipping away at those children's telomeres that determine how long they're going to get to live in order to get rid of a little weight.
If you
temporarily, too. It's not going to stay gone forever. The second they stop taking it, it'll come right back. You have to change your eating habits and your physical habits to match what your body requires of you, you know?
Yep. If you were evil, you would have to give the system credit because they don't have to come right out and do a mass genocide. They can do it slowly and incrementally and make a heck of a lot of money in the process. Mm-hmm. You can't sell drugs.
And get a lot of work done, too, before they got rid of them.
Yep. You can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell guns if ain't nobody at war. You can't sell ammunition if
I'd say anybody who has ADD that's considering something to try to alleviate the problem needs to investigate other remedies for the drug that they normally prescribe of Adderall, because just from a little bit of examining, I found that things like Nuapept, which is a nootropic, it's basically something that promotes brain growth, memory retention, all sorts of beneficial aspects. It also does the mood lifting and the energy stabilization so that you're not up and down like a yo-yo off the stuff, and instead of, you know, getting addicted to it, meaning your body literally can suffer a heart attack if you suddenly stop taking that Adderall, which is actually amphetamine. It's four different amphetamine salts. You can literally walk away from it without having any of those negative effects. The only negative effect you're going to suffer is that you're no longer getting the positive effect that you were getting from it that stabilized your mood and whatnot. And it's, like I said, it's a natural substance that your body normally makes on its own, but it's most likely, if you find the right, because there's a whole string of these nootropics, right? They're supposed to be intelligence drugs. They're basically compounds that your body normally produces that you can boost the amount that is in your system in order to enhance some aspect of your brain. And if you find out what's missing, like, you know, you're having trouble remembering things, you can figure out what chemical it is that's in your brain that's basically missing that's causing it to not be able to retain those memories. You can get one of these almost completely harmless to completely harmless substances instead of going down and, you know, buying something from the chemist that's got, you know, lithium or like Prozac that has fluoride in it or some of these other harsh chemicals that are basically going to tear your body up and destroy it. Just so you can get a little extra work done today.
Yep.
But all that's what they're doing. You know, they take it before work to make sure they can focus at work.
Yep. All of what you're talking about, it's going to rely on people actually doing some research. It's going to rely on your knowledge. You're going to have to get out there and learn things like what we're talking about. This is a good outlet to hear a few things, but this isn't the only outlet. Get out there and learn things. Verify what you're learning.
Right.
Ensure that before you put something in your body, you know exactly all the ramifications, because there's...
Well, and don't expect it to be the cure-all. I mean, you may have to do a little experimentation to figure out what it is that's actually going to fix whatever's wrong with you.
Yep.
The benefit of using herbs and natural substances like that, too, is oftentimes, whatever you're doing to your body with it, if you get the right substance, you won't have to use it forever. The problem will end up solving itself with this substance, and eventually you can stop taking it, and it'll just be gone. The stuff they give you, Raymond has said, they don't sell cures. They don't want you to ever not need the substances they're selling you, because they're making money off of you.
That's right.
If they cured it, they'd make a short amount of money and then they'd be out.
The government doesn't want you off of food stamps or welfare because of it basically ensures that you're never going to you're never going to shake the tree. Why would you shake the tree of the hand that fed you? You know.
Right.
And so, with that said, you know, same thing would apply whatever you eat, whatever you partake in or buy or whatever. You know, if you support any of those systems, then essentially you're supporting the same system that is doing the oppression that you keep protesting about. So it all falls down to we the people. Before you put something in your body that's going to make you sick, you know, at least know the ramifications. At least know what system you're supplying. If you want gun control, then you bring peace to the land. You bring peace to where you stop allowing fear-based media to tell you that there's a terrorist under every bush and the boogeyman's hiding in the closet and so on and so forth. You make them verify the information that you're putting out, that they're putting out, before ever even saying it, because it's the equivalence of why it's illegal to run into a crowded theater and shout fire. Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want, that would be the thing. We need to stop worrying about gun control and start focusing on media control. And by media control, I mean you need to start holding them accountable and making them suffer repercussions whenever they do something wrong.
Yep.
Like they cause a panic or something like that, you know. Or hiding something so that people end up getting harmed because they didn't cause a panic where people needed to actually panic over something and solve the issue. You know?
Do you know where the peaceful gun owner's gun is at all times? It's locked away in a cabinet. 90% of all the gun owners out there, they don't hardly ever pick them things up unless they're going to go to the shooting range. That's it. It's just there.
Well, and most of the gun deaths that happen from people who legally own firearms, it's usually suicide. Considering the way the country's going, you can see why. And if you're committing suicide, you don't have any resistance from the person you're trying to kill. So you don't have to have a gun. You can use a necktie to kill yourself if you really want to.
Yep.
So controlling the guns that those people have is not going to stop them from killing themselves over the horrors that they're seeing in this world right now.
And as far as the media and crime and propaganda, if I go out and I tell, like, let's say I go to the bank and I tell the banker that, you know, hey, this really nice guy is going to be coming in here in a little while. And so that banker is all relaxed and everything, expecting some nice guy. But in exchange, instead, comes in the guy with the guns all violent and everything. She's totally caught off guard. I just insisted that doggone nice guy or that nice lady at the bank or dude or whatever to be violently overtaken by something, you know, totally caught off guard. If you're the mainstream media out there and you're sitting there covering up for crimes that you know this people are committing, you know, spreading propaganda, if I did that, I would go to jail for being an accessory to the fact. Now, the media, they don't have no repercussions. You know, they can sit there and say, this criminal's a perfect guy and everything, and they're coming in here to help you out or whatever. And no matter what happens after they said what they said to get you to have the trust in them, they're not held accountable at all, period. And so it comes a time when the people of America and the world have to hold their mainstream media accountable for the truth. If you're going to be going in there shouting fire, there better really seriously be a fire. You know, you go try it. Go to your local theater and get in there and shout fire and get everybody panicking. See what happens.
Don't be dyslexic and run into the fire station and yell theater.
Yeah. Because they'll just look at you like you're stupid and call the paddy wagon in. But anyway, that's the reality of stuff, folks. You have more power than you think you do. And the power is in your actions, your words, your spelling. Or not spelling could help, I guess. Everything that you do, period.
Do you know that in the past 2 years, 47 people were killed in the United States by automatic gunfire? Do you realize that in the past year, 3,000 people were killed in automobile accidents? Why are we trying to control guns when we ought to stop people from driving automobiles? Come on, let's put a ban on automobiles, because automobiles kill people.
Yeah, well, my point about the whole gun control deal is that if you really seriously want gun control, stop telling everybody that there's a fire in the theater. You know, stop telling everybody it's a boogeyman.
Trying to trample each other.
Yeah. Because if people can comfortably know that they're living in peace and they know that their law enforcement out there is really on the job and really doing an honorable job, then there ain't no problem. But if I'm sitting out in the country and they tell me it's going to be 45 minutes to an hour to possibly never that the law man will show up or I could be dead before they even got here, I'd like to have some sort of protection. And if that requires me owning a firearm, then so be it. So if they ban them clear across, everyone who lives in a rural community out away from where the local law enforcement or sheriff's department is 45 minutes to an hour away, they're sitting ducks. They can't protect themselves.
Well, hey, if you live in a community where there's 50,000 people, though, and there's only, let's say, 4,000 or 5,000 police officers, there ain't enough police officers to go around.
Yeah.
So you might as well be living in a rural community, minus the fact that you at least have isolation on your side out there.
But how do you...
In a township, you the only people you have to respond... Your first responder is yourself.
Yep.
Your second responder is going to be the people that are closest to you that are not police officers, most likely, unless you live next door to one and he happens to be home at that time. You are SOL.
Yeah, how many hours or minutes do you think that the law enforcement's away from protecting Hillary and Donald Trump?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the whole deal. And so when they're out there preaching gun control, you think about that for a second. You think about whether or not you live out in the country or even in the city, like Thomas said, because either side of the spectrum has a bad deal, because if you're living in a town or city that has 30,000 to a million people, and those 30,000 to a million people get riled up and start fighting amongst each other, you ain't got no way to defend yourself against a guy who's 10 times your size.
Or there's 10 guys the same size, yep, coming at you at once.
There you go. And if you want gun control, if you seriously want people to stop shooting each other, then stop dividing the communities up along political and racial lines, and start working on your economies to getting people being able to work, and then the people wanting to work, you know, and stop telling them that the boogeyman's coming to get them. If you tell me that the apocalypse is on, the Y2K was a prime example. They pumped that up and pumped it up in the media about the computer's going to crash. They sold more guns and food and generators and stuff during the year 2000 and fuel. That man, I'll tell you what, you think the economy was booming because the president was brilliant? No, the economy was booming because people were afraid they weren't going to have something the next day. After 9/11, the very first thing, the very next day, every single fuel station out there was stacked, because they were all thinking that because this was done by Middle Easterns, that we were suddenly not going to have oil. They didn't say anything about, okay, well, don't anybody panic. We got this issue. The towers just came down. We believe it's this group over here. But don't rush to the gas stations, because we got all these tankers lined up along the shorelines of America that are already ready to come in. The refineries are filled up. So we got a little bit of time before you need to really get crazy on this deal. Right? No, heck no. They didn't say nothing like that. Essentially, everybody, word of mouth, pass it. You better go to the gas station. You better get you some gas, because it's going up to $5, $10 a gallon tomorrow.
Wait a minute. You're talking about 9/11?
I'm talking about it all.
Wait a minute. You're talking about 9/11? I remember 1953 when I was fishing with my father in Chesapeake Bay. I saw 4 abreast ships as far out as in the ocean as I could possibly see. Tankers lined up deep in the water, full of crude oil. And yet we had an oil crisis.
Yep.
And people were lined up for miles to get gasoline, because we had an oil crisis, a shortage of oil. And all this oil and all these ships were lined up, as far as I could see, 4 abreast, all the way out to the ocean. I could see that. Come on. There was no oil shortage. It was man-made. It was, how do you say it? The media. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed.
Yep.
Samuel Clemens.
Well, I heard Jiminy Cricket in the background telling him I said hi.
Alright, what I'm trying to say here is,
I'm with you.
You're talking about 9/11. I'm talking about history. He who does not study history.
Well, don't forget the Arab oil crisis. Their Arab oil crisis in the 70s, they were literally selling fuel on the black market, man. People were buying black market fuel. You know, you could go all the way back to Prohibition if you wanted. It's like Thomas said, you tell somebody they can't have something, they're going to do whatever they can to get it if they want it. And so,
exactly,
you not only open up the...
He does not study history, he is doomed to repeat it.
You not only open up a black market, but you also open up a lot of criminal institutions. Well, that's not actually the word I wanted to use, but basically you give the mob power because they now have a market for their goods. And, you know, it's like I can run around and I can tell you I'll protect you, you know, if you pay me, right? Well, if you don't pay them, then they beat you up. Whatever, you know, or worse. And that's essentially what the government's doing. That's essentially what the media is doing. Hey, we'll protect you. We'll give you the truth here on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, Fox News. And in all reality, all they're doing is selling advertisements. They don't care about your safety. They don't even care about gun control. They don't care about you, period. All they care about is the bottom line, how much money they can put in your pocket. And the only time they will ever even get close to a subject is when that subject has gotten close to their own house. That's it. If the monster's in your yard, they're going to show everybody why you get chewed up. But if the monster's in their yard, they're going to be begging for the same police that they sit there and demonize and say that these are racist police and they're beating everybody up and violating everybody's rights and shooting the black man, you know. But then when it comes down to time for them to get on the phone to call 911, they want the same blue line to come over there and protect them, while at the same time telling you, you got to get rid of your guns. Now the hypocrisy, the stupidity, the lack of common sense, that's why I say if you were evil, you'd have to give the system credit. They figured out every dirty deed under the book in order to Jerry Springer you into doing what is necessary for them to bank money.
And it's done for free on their side because it only costs the populace.
That's right. You don't have to pay the actors. You just get everybody riled up. They'll burn down their own community.
Yeah.
Look how people do during ball games when their university wins a ball game. They tear up their own campus. What the heck is that all about? Why would you tear up your own campus? Why would you roll over people's cars? Why would you violate everybody's rights just because you're excited that your campus won the doggone ball game? It happens. And then people go there and they feel like they've been cheated at another ball game, so there's a riot. You know, when Rome was burning, it said that, what was it, Caesar playing a fiddle or something while Rome burned? Was the phrase. I don't know that that's actually historically accurate, but I can visualize it because essentially B.O. was out on the golf course or vacation as Benghazi people were being killed. And then the next day there was lies told about it. And then the day after that there was even more lies told about it. And when it was found out that it was lies and it was brought before the court, there were even more lies told about it. Then there were emails that were hidden over it to bury the evidence. And now this particular individual who was Secretary of State, basically in charge of the safety of those individuals over there who took an oath, is now applying to be the Commander-in-Chief of the United States military. Why would you want that psychotic woman anywhere near the big red button? Seriously. And if she's just a puppet, that makes it even worse because whatever the guy upstairs says to do, she's going to do. Hey, Hillary, push that button over there. We got to nuke this over here and get the war started. All right, no problem. Poof. And she ain't even worried about it because if you would have saw the video where she's literally wringing her hands with joy on her face because some man was just murdered and she's happy about it, I understand that you might be relieved that you just had to kill an enemy. But anybody who can celebrate death the way that she did in front of the entire world, that's disturbing. And she had joy in her heart. She wringing her little hands like she just won the lottery. We came, we saw, and he's dead. Ha ha ha. You just took a life. Do you know whether or not that life was taken rightly or wrongly? Do you know whether or not a jury of his peers was was convened to find out the facts before? No, all you know is that somebody drugged that man out in the street and bloodied him to death. That's all you know. And you're sitting there with joy on your heart. I don't want that lady as the president of the United States. I don't want her in control of the United States military. I don't want our soldiers being lied and deceived into going into foreign nations and killing other people's children. That's why I say what I say. Now, as far as Republican and Democrat, I can't support either side when it comes to the establishment. I have more conservative views on life. I think that the Constitution should be adhered to. I think that we should not necessarily be separatists, but be, you know, stay in our country until we're attacked physically. If somebody is in trouble and we got to rush to their rescue because they're our allies, that's one thing. But it needs to be done by the book. There needs to be a declaration of war that goes through the chain of command, such as Congress and the Senate, and finally everybody's held accountable for their actions, and the American people decide that this is a necessary, that we got to go and defend the nation and theirs. But it ain't like that, folks. When a drone strike goes over there and it blows up some families and maybe gets the bad guy, or maybe not even gets the bad guys but blows up those families, they're called collateral damage. The American people have become collateral damage. And when it comes down to that, the only ones that can stand up and ensure that they are no longer considered as collateral damage or cattle or slaves is we the people. There are 320 million people or more, depending on who you ask, according to how many people is documented or not. The United States Constitution was set up by the Founding Fathers, and this is the only reason why this nation is alive today, is because it was set up with checks and balances, a government within a government within a government within a government, all the way down to the local dog catcher, all the way down to the standing militia, which is we the people of the United States of America. That's why those three words at the top of that document are emboldened. It says that the power is in we the people. And if not exercised, like Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. If you don't pay attention, you get what you see today.
Amen.
So that's what we got to do, folks. We got to educate one another. We got to pass messages to each other. If it comes down to we lose the internet, we pass the word by word of mouth. We pass the notes like you would in class or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But until people know the truth, until you show them, until they verify that truth as the truth, we're going to see it. We're going to see the continuous decline of freedoms. Now, these folks might have an ends justify the means type of mentality that, oh, well, you know, we're going to kill millions of people, but just think about in the long run how good this is going to be for all of humanity. We'll have a harmony with nature, or we won't be depleting nature. We will, you know, be living in peace together. Everybody will have a microchip in their arm, and we'll know who everybody is, and nobody will be able to hide nothing, and everything will be fair for everybody, and everybody will be equal. Well, in reality, even in that structure, there's somebody at the top, and are you going to trust your life?
Getting away with whatever they want.
That's it, right there.
You want a structure where everybody is tagged like that? Do it biologically. Produce something that basically produces an empathy where when you hurt somebody else, you feel that pain directly.
Yep.
You cannot hurt somebody else without hurting yourself anymore, and make sure everybody gets dosed with it.
Heck, I'd vote for that one.
Nobody gets away with it to become psychopathic.
I would vote for that one. But I'll tell you what. Communist sounds good in theory, because everybody's supposed to be taken care of until you actually live it. Go ask some folks that have left communist countries for a reason. They were promised.
I need to get away from the idea of communist. Anyist is a bad idea. And go to communal, meaning the community takes care of each other. Not one entity is entrusted with taking care of everybody else and given all this power to do so. And then who do they take care of? Themselves and their buddies.
Well, you know what? I think that a lot of people could take a lot of really good examples and knowledge from the people that were here before the Europeans showed up, because they didn't throw Grandpa out to pasture because Grandpa didn't have any teeth anymore. They nope. They didn't throw their sick...
No, they didn't start throwing people over a waterfall until they had barrels to do so, and they weren't making barrels before the Europeans got here.
Yep.
So, instead, they actually cherished those people because they managed to survive long enough to be old, so they must know something.
Oh, yeah, they would give them whiskeys and guns, man. Now, why are you going to get an Indian riled up on whiskey and give him a gun at the same time? Unless you're trying to cause a disruption. One of my really good friends, Leslie Malcolm, he was a Navajo Indian. Boy, you just didn't want to get that boy liquored up. He drank some mezcal one time, and I'll tell you what, we're at like the 19th or 20th floor of the Continental Hotel in Chicago, Illinois, and he's screaming out the top of the window. I mean, there was a crowd forming at the bottom. He's like, oh, I'm the only Indian in this room, right? And they're looking up at him like he's getting ready to jump, and we're trying to pull him away from the doggone window. He was literally on it, man. Man. Now, I'm not saying that Indians like go on the war path. That kind of don't sound right, but I know that my family has a lot of Cherokee blood in them. I've seen what happens when they get riled up. It's not always a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
You get anybody riled up, you'll have a problem. All you need is basically a reason for them to be riled up. And the particular people you're talking about have a reason to be riled up, because not only were they persecuted and exterminated with extreme prejudice and racist mentality, but it's then covered up.
Yeah, but see,
because nobody wants to admit that the U.S. government at one point was founded on a Nazi mentality.
They
want to point at the Germans. They want to point at at the Polish or the Chinese or the Japanese. But they'll never point the finger at themselves and account for what they've done.
Before the whiskey was introduced in their community, they didn't have near the problems. Just like the drugs inside the projects areas. You know, Two Dogs wrote my favorite phrase down there from a Black Sabbath song. And he said, "And all the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell." We see that, man. And there's another thing you put down there about elders, paying attention to your elders. They're the ones with the wisdom. They're the ones that built the world, and they can tell you the roads that they went down. And if you listen to their stories, you can learn a lot, man.
If you listen to that wisdom, you might actually live to be old yourself.
Yep. You know, we talk about a lot of things here on the Knights of the Round Table. We talk about a lot of things on the Mad Science. Here on Shaziz Radio, we open up the microphone for you out there listening. We want to hear what you got to say. We're going to speak words of wisdom every opportunity we got. We're going to shout it out and keep on shouting it out. Point out all the research that we've done and all the common sense that we see. We're not taking sides on the Democrats or the Republicans or any particular religious belief or lack thereof. What we're trying to do is trying to point out the obvious. You could only got to do is stand back and look at history to see where we're heading. When you see the actions that people are taking out there, when you see the crime and the corruption being ignored on one side of society, while at the other side, the jailhouse is filling up with the average Joe. You know? It's kind of hard to get a job when you've been spending most of your life in prison as a felon. When you get out of jail and you fell through the cracks of society and people look at you because of what color you are, or because maybe you got some tattoos from prison, or
how can you actually be a member of society when part of your societal rights are stripped away from you too?
Yeah.
You've been to prison, you don't get to vote anymore. You're not allowed to own a gun. You can't defend yourself. You can't defend your country. You can't actually participate in the system to ensure that it remains corruption-free.
Yep.
You literally have been excommunicated. They might as well have just extradited you out of the country to the country of your choice that's willing to take you and let you become a full-fledged citizen there.
That's right.
Because you're no longer a citizen here.
Essentially, you are falling through the cracks. You have fallen through
and
the
you,
cracks.
And you better
society.
Hope that you actually you did something wrong to actually warrant this, because there are plenty of people who didn't do anything wrong that were falsely accused, and now they're in that boat.
And do you
and
know...
And they won't even get the courtesy of a, I'm sorry.
Do
you... Just kick them out the gate and tell them to go.
Do you know that there are a segment of people who have spent so much time in prison that when they get out of prison, they can't cope
well,
with the world?
They'll do something wrong to get put right back in because they're not comfortable in that system. They don't understand how it even works.
They get three hots and a cots, what they call it.
Yep.
You know? And that's sad. Because if a person wants to go out and commit a crime just to get locked back up because he knows at least in prison he gets fed, and there's some sort of government that you can trust, because you can trust that if you're in prison, you can trust that you can't trust the guy that's doing business with you, so it's best to try to avoid that business altogether. So if you could learn something from the people who've been in prison as far as trusting the so-called authority, see, there's a government underneath the government that's keeping these people confined. It's the strong inside there that survives. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The big dude, he's in control. And if you want to take control, the only election is you got to beat that big dude down.
Handle his buddies.
That's right. If you can take him and his buddies, you could be the man.
There Until go, somebody man. Decides they want to take you out because they want your power.
Yep. There's where it said, live by the sword and die by the sword.
Yep.
Two Dogs said that land of the free and the braves are in jail. That's it. You know, we got a lot of people in prison. A lot of people who aren't necessarily behind bars, who are the working poor, who literally live in a financial prison. So far in debt.
The thing is, you have several times, many times, confessed that you believe in God and you read the Bible and this, that, and another, and I am agnostic. I'm not atheist. I'm not a God-fearing man. But I am agnostic. But in my Bible that I read, it said that God created man. But then he turned around and said, I give you free will. It's your decision. So, if all the bad things that happen on this world that we live in, why are they bad? Why doesn't God step in and say, you're a bad person, you need to die? No. If he did, he would break his word.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what makes me agnostic. I don't know if there is a God. I'm not sure. But the thing is, I don't care if you call him Yahweh, Muhammad, or whatever. Buddhism, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, with or without God, Raymond.
Wait a minute. God gave us, each and every individual, free will to make our own decisions.
With or without.
Who is trying to tell us that we cannot have guns? I mean, each person has his own decision to make. His own decision. So each person makes his own decision to do good or bad. Now, it's up to the rest of us, people who have the breath of the Spirit of God, to make our decision. Now, it's us that decide who is good and who is bad.
Well,
you follow what I'm saying here?
With or without God, you still have the free will. I believe in God. I believe that God gave us free will. He said, thou shalt not kill. But if you choose to do so, whether you're a believer or non-believer, It's literally down to that. You chose to do so. You chose to live the way that you
exactly. do. That's my point. Exactly. Exactly. And it's up to the rest of us to judge that person, not God. He gave us that decision.
Yep. That's why they always keep saying, well, if God was so loving, why would he allow this and that? It's because of what you just said, Raymond. You got free will, and at the end of the day, whether you believe in God or not, you're going to pay a price for every action that you do. You're going to pay it whether somebody comes back to kill you for killing their family, or whether your society and your children's children have to live in a terrible war-torn land because you chose to war before they got here instead of trying to promote peace. If you went out to do somebody wrong, it's coming back to you. Call it karma, call it God, call it whatever you want, but what you can't call it is a conspiracy theory because history has repeated itself so many times.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much. That is exactly my point. Exactly.
We got to come to the realization that common sense has to rule the day. When you get up in the morning, you got an opportunity. You can either do what you did yesterday and go down the same path, or you can wake up and use that new day as a clean slate to try to right the wrongs that you've done and do them right this time. You know?
Yes, exactly.
Unless it actually gave a positive result the last time you did it.
Well,
when you find something that works, stick with it. And, you know, unless you find something that'll work even better, and make sure it's going to work better.
Exactly. That's my point. He who studies history will learn. He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it.
But be very cautious about falling for the lie of the ends justify the means. If you have to do something dirty to get to a good means, then was it right to begin with? That's what I'm saying. Because when you do something dirty to finally justify the means, you know, it's like that. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you kill somebody with a sword, expect that someday you could literally be killed by the sword. And it's as simple as that. The ends don't always justify the means unless your intentions are to do the right thing from start to finish.
You know, I've got dirt under my fingernails many, many times. But most of the time, that dirt was earned. When I built the compost pile to feed my family.
Yep.
Come on. We're talking about Mother Nature. We're talking about doing the right thing. Something dies. You don't embalm it. You don't create a mummy. You turn it back to earth.
Well,
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I know what I'm trying to say, but I don't know the right words.
Essentially, you're talking about living in harmony with nature, you know. Let's giving back.
Exactly. Thank you.
But, you folks, we're getting down to the end of the deal right there. And I kind of want to play us out of here with that Paul Harvey from 1965. I know you've heard it many times, but if you really seriously listen to what that man said in 1965, you know, regardless of what you think in your own personal spiritual journey that you're in life, you got to admit that there were folks back in the day that wrote some things that should have been like a good guidebook for life. It's not God that allows people to starve. It's man that allows people to starve. And if you judge the man with dirt underneath his fingers, or the woman with dirt underneath his fingers, do you know that that might have been the farmer that was out there raising and cultivating the crops that fed the people that you're trying to care for yourself? And so, that's pretty much what I think Raymond was talking about. With that said, folks, you guys got any last bits, words of wisdom before I play us up out of here? Thomas?
No, you said enough already.
You daggone right he did.
Well, folks,
he said enough.
We've said it, and we'll keep on saying it, and we'll try to bring more messages and good information. We offer you a seat at the table. This is a round table. And the whole purpose of a round table is that nobody's at the head of the table. Everybody's equal. And that's what it's all about. Come stand at the microphone. Come talk to the world. Come tell them what you think we can do to fix this all. Because until we get the knowledge and the wisdom in action, we're just sitting there spinning our wheels in the mud. We got to fix this world before it gets bad, because even after we leave, you know, whatever seeds that we plant will bear whatever style of fruit that the future generations. And like Thomas and Raymond both had said, that when you leave a piece of land, you leave it in good shape, if possible better shape than when you got there for the next person in line. That's what we're trying to do here. So, everybody...
I want to say something to the people that are listening to this show. Please, listen to Shaziz. There's somebody out there that has something to say. If you have something to say, please join. Come in and use the microphone. Say your piece.
And if you can, if you want to support our efforts in trying to make the world a better place, share these podcasts with people. Rebroadcast them as much as you like, you know. I'm not ashamed of anything that I've said. I said what I said, and I'll say it again if necessary. So, with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to play you up here with little Paul Harvey, and I'm asking you to please stay tuned long enough to at least listen to the words that are coming out of his mouth. And understand that this was done in 1965.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Oh, woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Three dots whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, hey. King Shazir's the Turtle. All those working, Shazir's the Turtle, and the Knights of the Round Table.